Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Then you take us out on the field.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team. You don't get the fact. You just got 1 year of top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being Alzheimer's center.
Sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you 5 times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing. 100 and nothing. And you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
PFW in Progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house. Pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get them.
All right. Here we are. PFW in Progress. Our last show of the week.
I think that's my favorite open of all of them.
That's your favorite open?
I think so.
You relate to that, Rudy, think?
No, I think they're perfect. Every
Five
single one is
nothing.
Perfect.
Huh?
Yeah.
100 and nothing.
Every description is perfect for every
Except
one
you
of
used
us.
To have half an ounce of talent. Now you can't even reach the goalposts.
All right.
I'm working on it.
Gang's all here. Andy,
Work
Eric, Paul, Fred.
I don't have a sugar
daddy. The doctor's in the house behind the glass.
We can't hear you.
Yeah, we can't hear you, Paul.
Now we can't hear Paul? Oh, well, what's going on with the equipment here?
It's not the equipment.
Is this 2G leaves and
human error?
Paul, talk. No.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No one's home.
Yeah. The light's on. This is unbelievable.
Who knew 2G?
Well, first of all, we should check our mics probably before we go on the air.
How?
Can you,
yeah, there's no only he can hear.
Paul,
us.
Go underneath. Maybe there's a wire disconnected. No, you have to get on the floor.
Get on your knees.
On your knees under the desk.
You're used to that.
Look, he's doing it.
This is not going to work over here, though. That's why I'm over here.
Yeah, but no one can hear you, so we can pretend
That's
you're
why
doing
I'm over
it.
Here.
All right, can we hear you now?
Nope,
no.
Nothing.
Oh, for crying out! This is a
apparently
this is a travesty.
Don't you have a big show?
I'm
Don't you have a thing today? What are you doing?
All right. No? Well,
how's that?
Yeah. There we go. Hey,
clearly the doctor doesn't know his ass from his elbow.
He doesn't
you
know.
Get
the,
it? Get it? You're a doctor.
He doesn't know the anatomy of a radio station.
You know, we have a lot of respect for Jason.
No, we don't.
Who's that guy?
You know, we have a lot of respect for Jason.
I'll laugh him.
I've seen him before. He's a radio guy in Cincinnati. He's an ex-player, isn't he?
Really?
All right. Anyway, we're all here. Paul's back. Paul's back on the air.
You guys thought you were going to have a good show without me interrupting.
We were open.
Sorry.
All right. So since Tuesday, anything new that we want to talk about right off the top?
No.
No?
I brought with me Mel Kiper did a 4-round mock I thought we might want to discuss.
I'll just tell you right off the top, but my sources are telling me that no shots were fired at the Gisele Brady wedding.
So that's the end of that. So let's move
right.
on.
So that was it. That's been debunked. Go ahead, Andy.
Your sources can tell you anything they want.
Go ahead, Andy.
The truth is somewhere in the middle, always. Right, Fred?
Nope.
That's what you taught us.
Mel Kiper's 4-round mock, star-studded cast of characters coming to New England, according to this, which is why I believe...
Not one of them will be?
Not a lot of this is
well,
very
Anybody
accurate.
Who's ever uttered the word Patriots
right. I mean, it's
in the
very,
last 2 months has been linked
but
to
number 23,
New
running back out of UConn, Donald Brown.
Yeah.
Number 34, defensive end slash linebacker out of Cincinnati, Connor Barwin. Number 47, cornerback slash safety out of Utah, Sean Smith.
who Paul hates, by the way.
Number 58.
Really don't. Well, as a cornerback, I think he could be a good safety.
Wide receiver slash quarterback slash whatever, Pat White out of West Virginia.
Yeah, a lot of people saying the Patriots have their radar on Pat White.
I'm really intrigued by him.
Number 89, tight end out of Florida, the injured returning Cornelius Ingram, which I am very intrigued by. I think that might be the most likely of these picks right now. And then my boy, the white guy from the University of Pittsburgh, linebacker Scott McKillop.
How are
And 124, liked him, Eric's guy, offensive tackle out of Baylor, Dan Gay.
Wait, what was the what was the round for McKillop?
Eric's too busy with his lunch.
The last of the thirds, 97.
Third round for him?
I like him. He's a good player, Paul.
I liked him.
Get past what he looks like, Paul, and look at him merely as a football player.
I wrote all good comments with him. I thought he was a good tackler, very active and quick, and I thought he did really well in coverage.
He's a good player. Why are you going to hate?
I don't hate
him. He's your fourth pick of the weekend. I mean,
yeah. Well, he's still a third-round pick.
Yeah, but you got extras, and you know that when you have multiple second-round picks, generally most of them stink. Because that was what I took from your feature that you wrote when I looked at the chart, and all the teams that had three second-round picks, they were just Well, nobody got all these studs.
No one hit a home run. It happened five times in the last 10 years, no one hit a home run.
And what we've been talking about is maybe you take a chance on somebody because you have those three picks there. You would think if a bunch of those teams did that they'd hit. You'd get a home run somewhere
Detroit
in there.
In particular, they got very unlucky. They took a safety.
Well, that's... I mean, that's pretty obvious why they didn't.
But they took a safety who had a fantastic... rookie season. He had like 98 tackles. The kid Alexander, I think his name was. It's
first
escaping me right now. He had a serious neck injury last year.
Oh, okay.
And missed most of the year. So there's a reason you haven't really heard much of him.
Plus, he plays for Detroit, and I don't really watch their games.
And then they took and one of the other picks was Drew Stanton, who may or may not be a good pick.
I like him.
And the other guy was the guy with three names, the Ico Francis something.
Oh, yeah, I liked him.
He hasn't played much.
I should go over. Go over like.
I think so.
The top five. Matthew Stafford going to Detroit, so we may never know if Drew Stanton can play. Jason Smith, the tackle out of Baylor, going to St. Louis. Aaron Curry, who's interesting because we've talked about if they play a 3-4 out there, what would he be, inside, outside, blah, blah, blah.
I think he's an inside
Seattle,
guy,
Eugene Monroe, tackle out of Virginia, who I think is best player in the draft, safest
very good
pick.
Very good.
Five, Cleveland goes with Michael Crabtree to put either opposite Braylon Edwards or to replace Braylon Edwards if they're
depending
trading
on
him.
Who you believe, yeah.
So I think that's – and Andre Smith at six is
– Andre Smith suddenly moving back up in a lot of
interesting
places, which I think makes sense. I think that makes sense because he was ill-prepared for a combine, there's no reason to think the guy can't play.
And
all of a sudden he went from a top five pick to out of the first round.
Kuiper
that's too big of a fall for me.
B.J. Raji at nine, not having too big of a fall based on this cloud of speculation surrounding.
Cloud of smoke.
Speculation at this point. Well, Fred. But
NFL Draft Bible evidently can be trusted, whereas photographers in Costa Rica can't be.
A couple other interesting picks. Number 13.
I think that's fair.
Are you freaking kidding me? Number 13, Washington takes Mark Sanchez. So Jason Campbell would be on the outs in Washington. Also, I like Clay Matthews. Number 36 to Cleveland, so not a first-round pick, nor should he ever be a first-round pick. They're getting it right now after propping him up for too long.
Going back to this Pat White guy, how are his hands? Can he catch the ball?
I don't really know.
He's
a quarterback, so I don't really
he's
have.
He's a thrower and a runner.
He has never really impressed people in his workouts. I know that,
I
don't know.
I'm not taking him in the second round as a wide receiver. I'm taking him in the second round potentially as a guy that I'm going to devote 5-10% of my offense to. In the shotgun.
Now, you're going to probably...
As a wildcat quarterback.
But he's a quarterback, Fred. He can throw the football.
No, I know. Yep.
My biggest issue with him is not throwing the ball. It's his size. He's barely 6 feet and 190 pounds. I mean, I just don't see him competing at the NFL level at that. But he can do wildcat, and sometimes when he's back there, drop back and throw. Not even run a wildcat type. But I think also if you're going to use him that way... You will probably need to use him at times as a slot receiver.
But you look at the other guys. Right.
Because sometimes you'll motion him into
you
the
can't
wildcat.
Just do one thing.
Brady will go out to the slot. I mean, you got a lot going on.
You look at guys right now that are involved in wildcat. I mean, you know, whether it's Ronnie Brown or Ricky Williams. These guys have a position, though, other than that.
Right.
It's hard for a team to afford
a roster spot for a guy who's, you know, just going to be this Wildcat guy.
I'm not so sure about that.
No?
And I think Bill is definitely interested in that.
Yeah.
And I don't have anything to base it on. Because
and he's
Bill,
probably your third quarterback.
Never said it, but
so
I'm
Matt Gutierrez or Pat
okay,
White.
Well, if he's now your third quarterback, okay. Now that's... To well, me, well, that's your roster spot, and you're using him also
But
as,
he'd have to be active, so he wouldn't be,
right.
your
Could
third
be your
game
third
day
quarterback.
But I'm saying he'd probably be your...
Be an emergency
if Brady and O'Connell go down, Pat White comes in and plays.
I just didn't want to confuse anybody with that. I didn't want to
I mean,
have them all active.
Today's day and age where the Patriots at certain times have eight special teamers on the roster or whatever, I mean, they carry...
Hey, in 2000, Bill did this on a small scale with Michael Bishop.
But it was a bad team, so it's a little different.
And it didn't work because he couldn't do it.
No, but I'm
I don't
just
think
saying
he was,
roster
I don't
spot
think
wise,
he was. I don't think A, was he was talented team. Enough, and I don't think B, he was smart enough to actually do
Pat
it.
Pat White can run.
Pat White,
oh,
I think.
Yeah. Dude can
Here's
run.
The thing.
And he's not a bad
We got an
ask
PFW
bad,
saying, why couldn't Kevin O'Connell run the Wildcat? Kevin O'Connell is an athletic quarterback.
Yeah, it's a
Pat White is an athlete.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a difference
White
between
the Pat White could be one of
the
best athletes
there.
On the field, no matter what field he's on.
Right.
Kevin O'Connell can't say the same thing. I think that you could make an argument that Pat White might be better suited to do this in the NFL than Tim Tebow will be.
Oh, I think so.
And I think
Tim Tebow runs with power.
Yes, and I don't
Pat
think he'll be able to do that in the NFL.
He's fast and quick enough to make people miss NFL, CFL,
And their throwing abilities are probably pretty similar. They're probably okay, both of them, in terms of passers.
Well, from what I've seen, it looks like White is a better passer.
He's certainly been more productive passing in college than Tebow was, but you know, you make the argument who had to be more productive. I don't know.
What the hell are you laughing at?
I don't know. There's a submarine that they're using. It's called the Shat Harding submarine.
They should have just called it the Sharding submarine.
But I don't know. Second round, Fred, might be a little too early, but I am intrigued by that Pat White interest. I know that in listening to other people talk about Bill last year, all the infatuation with Tebow and the spread offenses and all this stuff, I have to think that Bill has devoted some time this offseason to devising a way to use a Wildcat on a fairly consistent basis next year.
That's the only thing that I think is a little interesting.
Why? Because other teams are doing it?
No, because I think he thinks there's value in it.
And he did it last year.
He did it last year.
Yeah, but they've always done, you know.
No. That was different. Don't give me that was the same.
They never, ever ran a play like they did last year in Indy.
Right. That was different. Belichick. That was Wildcat. That was, it's trickling into the league. It's trickling into
our
offense.
That wasn't a direct snap to a running back. Kevin Falk was the quarterback.
There's a
difference there.
There's definitely a trend. You can see it even in college and the NFL. There more teams are employing that type of play package.
Plus, he's been talking to Urban Meyer for 3 years now. I mean, he talks about how they talk offense and, you know, the different things you can do out of the spread, how you defend the spread. He's going to use some of that. And, Paul's right. Tim Tebow is a half step below Ed Reed on Bill's list of love children.
There's too much smoke there for me to not see the fire.
My question would be, who's calling the plays?
But you got a team like Miami.
Because you don't have an offensive coordinator, and you're adding this huge, even if it's a 5% chunk of your offense, it's a very unique way to mix it in.
Right. But
Maybe they don't do it if they don't end up with that guy.
Right, exactly. I don't see them forcing it. I mean, like, Miami had Ronnie Brown. They had Ricky Williams. There was a natural
Bill,
hey,
but what we're saying
we
is,
what I'm saying is he's going to try to get a guy to do it.
Bill has lusted.
He didn't force it last year because he didn't have the guy.
He only did it once or twice.
But do you really see them picking a guy in the draft with that in mind?
I just can't imagine that you've seen him pick
They drafted Matthew Slater.
Yes. I'm just going to say that. That was exactly the
I mean,
it's
where does he have him? 58. It's higher, but it's the fourth of four of the four picks.
And it's not even just drafting. He's used guys specifically to long snap, specifically to play special teams, specifically in the draft in Matthew Slater's case. He's had guys that have basically just returned.
Mm-hmm.
Why not a guy who just
plays
in Wildcat packages?
Especially when there's that trend developing across the league.
And it's such a talented roster. I'm not saying they have no holes. I'm not, you know, I think they need some guys still, but they're a very talented roster. How much do they actually need in the draft this year?
If they're
that they can't afford to draft the guy.
At any point after round one, if the names Pat White and or Percy Harvin are available when the Patriots are picking, I'm going to be anxious. I'm thinking that they're going to pick at least, you know, one of those guys.
We'll see.
And we've talked
about
this for 5 years.
And I'm not saying they're
going to
draft those guys. I'm saying that they are interested in
it. This isn't coming out of nowhere. We've talked about this for, not 5 years, probably at least 4 years, how Bill has talked glowingly about other teams who have slash players and sort of intrigued by what you could do with them, whether it was Cordell Stewart, whether it was Brad Smith with the Jets. You can go get the transcripts and look at. He is intrigued by having that on his roster. He has 11 picks. As he said, we can't bring 11 rookies onto this roster. Right. So if this is a year where he wants to maybe go a little outside the box and get something, this is now the time.
And I think he showed you in 2000 with Bishop that he wasn't afraid to be unconventional.
Right.
That when at the time that he did that, no one else was really doing it. You know, Cordell Stewart was playing wide receiver.
Yeah, but he inherited Michael Bishop.
But he used him.
But he had to use him. He could have just cut him.
He was on the team.
My point is that he used him in a role that was very unconventional. How many NFL guys said,
I was trying to figure out how
you can't play. You can't play two quarterbacks.
You just need to maintain this stance. Because when they draft him on draft weekend, I don't want to hear, oh, that's a great pick. Wait till you see what he can do with Pat. I want you to say, terrible pick. They just wasted a pick on a Wildcat guy.
But what I'm saying is
that no freaking way.
But wait a minute. It's dumb to say he had him on the team. He might as well use him. He has never used any of his other backup quarterbacks since.
Well, Michael Bishop had athletic ability. He was trying to figure out how best to use it.
And at the time that he did that, no one else did that. No one else used two quarterbacks that were healthy at the same time.
Okay.
He did. So I think
he started the Wildcat.
Well, he'll be the first.
His dad started the Wildcat 552 years ago.
That's another thing. That Sports Illustrated story. I think he's infatuated with this whole thing.
All right.
The single wing. I think he's very interested in it. That's why we wanted to do some pieces with him during this offseason. It was still
feels
trying.
Like it's some like paying homage to his father in the early.
I think he's interested in the whole dynamic of that offense.
Right.
And. Does that mean he's going to take Pat
White?
Fred
doesn't like it.
Doesn't mean it.
Fred is down on any Wildcat selection.
Well, it's not that I'm down on it. And I'm not.
You're already spinning
a little bit.
I'm not down on the Wildcat. I think it was great to see and everything. But
it's the Google.
When I look at the Patriots, I mean, they're so good at their offense, you know, traditional offense, that, you know, mixing in this Wildcat, if you have a guy there that can do it, fine. But, selecting a guy just for that, especially in day one, I don't know.
But maybe he says, you know what, when we were having trouble moving the ball against Philly and Baltimore and whatever late in the year, it would have been nice to throw three plays of Wildcat out there to keep him off.
Yeah, I mean, I could be way off.
Maybe it benefits the regular offense when you go back to the regular offense.
I mean, I know we always say you can never predict what the Patriots do. You can never predict what Bill Belichick does in the draft and all this stuff.
And you can never have too many options, in my mind. Yeah. And Paul's right. They know they're good at receiver and quarterback and this and that. So if Pat White is a valuable commodity middle of the draft, why not?
What's middle to you?
The last second round pick for them is middle because it's their fourth pick.
I see day one, I think, is beginning of the draft.
And we also don't know what Bill thinks.
Pick, but like Andy said, if you have three picks and one of them is toward the end of that round.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they've worked Pat White out three times to make sure that the good hands they saw the first time are the same good hands the second time.
Didn't we criticize the Patriots before for when they had these extra picks of taking chances? Why should we be taking chances when we should be, you know, getting players who might actually make the roster? I mean, I remember that criticism before of the Patriots.
Because if Bill really expects this guy to make the roster to
Marquise
do the kind
Hill
of things
would be
he wants
one
him
guy
to do, then
well,
they
yeah.
might have gotten criticized.
Yeah.
But
why experiment? Why do these experiments? You know,
I don't. If Bill wants to do it, I don't think it's an experiment.
Yeah.
If Bill thinks it'll work, I take his expert opinion as saying it's going to work, and that's why I think if he
note that.
Well,
if Bill thinks it's going to work, I'm going to take his expert experience.
Right.
Because a lot of the times, you know, you laugh at people who say, in Bill we trust.
No, but that's not in Bill we trust. That's
you have experts for a reason.
Yeah, that's a different whole thing.
He screws up just like the rest of us.
You're saying if he cuts Tom Brady tomorrow, we're supposed to say,
right.
Well, in the past those things have worked, so I'm going to trust Bill. That's not the same thing as saying Bill knows how to put a game plan together.
Plus, this is a little different because I don't know if Pat White can catch the ball. I have not had the chance to work out Pat
White.
Yeah,
that's why I asked the question. I don't know either.
But they worked him out individually, and now they're supposedly, reportedly having him come here for a visit. So they've put a lot of effort into Pat White, and my guess is some of that is, can he play the slot receiver? Some.
Right. So to me, the Wildcat is more successful when any guy in that backfield can do anything.
Well, I
that
disagree.
Opens it
All you
up.
Need to do is have the guy that has the ball have the ability to run
right.
or throw.
Or throw.
Now, if
That's
he can
it.
Play slot receiver,
and he has
as
that
I
ability.
Said,
He can run or throw.
If he comes in the game and it's only Wildcat, it's less valuable than if he has 10 snaps a game at slot receiver, and three of those he motions into the backfield and runs the Wildcat. Mm-hmm. That's more valuable because now the defense is even more on its toes.
Right. And right. Maybe you've picked up another, a third, fourth receiver.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. I mean, Bill might say, he's a great athlete. I can develop him into a slot receiver.
Four years from now.
He might do that, too.
I would feel a lot better about...
But you can do both.
I would feel a lot better about this if I thought that Pat White could make the team as a fifth receiver.
And
then
he
I'd
might.
Say, okay.
He
well,
might.
You know...
I just don't really – I think that I have really been swayed by Bill's ability to use a roster spot for one specific
right.
thing. And he's done that a lot, and I don't see anything
I mean,
different
guys
about
like
this.
Sam Aiken and Kelly Washington and Ray Ventrone have made the roster for specific jobs. Why can't Pat White, whose specific job might be like three touchdowns?
And the reason that guys like Ventrone are around is because – not on game day, but on the other
right.
6 days of the week, he performs a variety of services for them at practice. And Pat White is going to do
think,
a thousand
right,
things
Pat
at
White,
practice.
Who's one of the best all-around athletes, can't be a third down back 1 week, run the Wildcat
right, okay.
for the scout team.
All right. Right.
And why do you hate Pat White? Let's
I don't
get to the bottom
hate
of it.
Pat White. I don't hate Pat White.
And again... I have no idea.
I have
no idea what the Patriots are planning. Look, I just think there's
right.
a lot of scope
I
here.
I just feel like... You know, with these four picks in the first two rounds, this is what I'm talking about. You know, they are a talented team, but I still feel that I would love to get more depth in the defensive backfield. We need more depth at linebacker.
He might do that, too.
They took Sean Smith and Connor Barwin before they took Pat White in this spot.
I would rather use these four picks on guys that we know what they're going to do.
Well,
we don't know what any of them are going to do.
I think that's very naive.
Oh, haven't I?
To think that you can pick four, five, six guys in a draft that you know what they're going to do.
Paul, you're misinterpreting what I'm saying.
But you're
you don't know
saying that Pat White's
interpreting.
No, you're saying Pat White's a wasted Sonny. Pick. It's a gamble. I don't think it's a gamble.
I think it is a gamble.
I don't
in the
think
first
Bill looks
rounds.
At it as a gamble.
I do. That's just what I'm saying. I think it's.
And how do you know he's going to pick him in the first two rounds?
That's all I'm saying. If he is picked in the first two rounds, I think it's a gamble.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Do you agree with me?
Why is that more of a gamble than Sean Smith?
Well, if you don't think that he's that good a player, but
Bill obviously is taking these guys for a reason. He's not infallible. We know a lot of draft mistakes. Bethel Johnson, Marquise Hill, Dexter Reed, Gus Scott. There's a lot of mistakes that he's made.
No,
but he obviously
mistakes.
Didn't pick the guy thinking he was going to be a bust.
But you're picking a guy to be a Wildcat player.
Yes, I don't understand where there's any more risk in that than picking Sean Smith to be a safety.
I think that's a gamble in the first two rounds.
Okay. Again, I'll get back to my question. Why would you feel better about picking a conventional
because
player?
Because if I pick a conventional player in the first two rounds, I think he can play that position.
But
I may be wrong.
We know Pat White can play the Wildcat.
I know he can
it's
play
his
it.
Career.
Do
yeah.
we?
That's his career at
West
Virginia.
West Virginia.
So as much as you think Sean Smith can play safety, Pat White can play option quarterback.
I think playing the Wildcat in the NFL is different than what he did in college.
Only the speed of the game and the size
of the
players.
I actually think
that's the same at every position.
But I think
190 pounds. That
every
makes a big
wide
difference.
Receiver has to beat a cornerback who's now bigger and faster.
Right. Yeah, see, I think it actually may be easier to do it. Pat
right,
White.
They don't defend it.
Plus, he's only going to be doing it four or five plays a game, as
right.
opposed to 60.
Okay, well then
you hate Pat White.
If he's going to do it four or five plays a game, maybe then I don't think he should be a first or second round pick.
Okay,
that would be more production than you got out of Bethel Johnson or Marquise Hill or other second round picks.
Mistake. That you know,
okay. but I'm
know,
just my
those
point.
Are mistakes.
My point is, if he
but if
turns
they,
out to be a productive Wildcat player, and you play him five plays a game, I think that's a very valuable second round.
Then I agree with you.
So you're saying he's a bust, and that's the same argument that you can make for any pick.
If he succeeds,
if
he'll be a good pick. If
exactly.
he doesn't, it's a bad pick.
Well, I just think
this is funny. This, by the way, the Guitar Hero with Bobby Knight comes in, he starts yelling at the guy.
They don't understand why they're going overboard with this Guitar Hero thing.
They must pay them
a ton
of money to do
There's
that.
There's like five versions of these with all like massive celebrities.
Krzyzewski, Patino, Digger Phelps, and Bobby Knight. It's pretty
But I mean, isn't there one with like Giselle and or
not
Heidi
Digger
Klum?
Phelps.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
it's not Giselle.
No, Roy
Klum.
Williams.
Roy
I'm
Williams.
Sorry.
Are they in their underwear?
But like that, yeah, with shirts and...
Guitar Hero's making a ton of money. They can afford that these days.
It seems like they're making a ton of money. They don't need to advertise with all these big money guys.
True.
See, that's the kind of analysis you can only get on PFW in Progress. We go from Wildcat talk in the split second
Guitar Hero
advertising.
Jim from Dallas is on the phone. Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
What's up, Jim?
Hey, Jim.
Actually, it's John from Dallas. That's okay.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Doc.
Nice job, Doc.
Thanks for writing Jim down.
No, he wrote John.
Thanks for writing Jim down, idiot. He really wrote John. We just can't read.
Hey, I get kind of a...
You know, we have a lot of respect for Jason.
I've got a couple of questions on the draft for you. Actually, it's kind of a combined question on multiple parts.
Oh, good. John Dennis.
So do you think the... it seems to be a lot of talk about teams trading up and down on draft day. I mean, it's probably going to happen, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Do you think the Pats are candidates to trade up? And if they are candidates to trade up, is Curry worth the trade up to like a number two or three spot?
Oh, no, I do not believe so, no. If he's at six, yes.
Nah.
He won't fall. I don't think he'll fall to six.
I don't think he will either, but I don't think I agree with my partners here. I don't think they'll trade up, period, in the first round.
Oh, I think they could.
I
wouldn't rule it out.
I'm not ruling it out, but I don't think it's anything out.
But I'm just going by Bill's comments about that 20 to 40 thing. I think he's very happy to be where he is in this draft.
Okay. I think is there that much of a talent gap between Curry and English? What do you think?
I think they're different players.
Yeah.
One is sort of a pass rush specialist. One is a good all-around outside linebacker, but we've talked about we're not sure what Aaron Curry would be in a Patriots system.
Yeah. And we're not really after talking about it for a couple of days, we're still not sure.
And we're not sure what kind of an impact player he will be in any system in terms of game-changing type plays.
I think he's a good, solid player. But Andy, I think, said it on the podcast yesterday, I'm not looking for a good, solid player in the number three overall pick. I want the best player at his position.
I want defensive player of the year type player.
Yeah.
John, I'm not sure he's that.
Like him. I like Curry a lot. I don't know if he's that
good.
He's
compared to Keith Bullock, and I think it's a fair comparison. Keith Bullock is a very good player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
not a game
Keith
changer.
Bullock is not a game changer. He's on a very good defense. He's gone to Pro Bowls, probably has all pro. I don't know.
Where did Keith Bullock get taken? Late in the first round, if
right.
I'm not mistaken.
So, I'm just not sure what Aaron Curry is. I think he's a safe pick as a good player, but not an impact player.
My guess, John, is that you're going to see the Pats take their first four picks and use them. I think if they do any trading, it'll be in the on day two.
I think they could trade in the second round, John.
I think they'll trade in the second round too.
I
think that the Pat White seems to be coveted by Dallas. That's the talk on the radio here.
That
Jerry Jones is really fond of him. So
just one thing to keep in mind, John, in the way the 3 second round picks are situated, they're all about 10 apart, and that makes the Patriots prime trade partners with everybody. They're going to be on the phone the whole round. Now, maybe Eric will be right. They won't deal any of them, but I think they're going to. And I think that, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, I mean, you're going to be able to make a trade with absolutely anybody. And I think the chances that Bill doesn't make one are slim.
Trade number 34 for a one next year?
Yeah.
Lord only knows.
Strippers sent us an email, and I guess ESPN's reporting now that a pitcher for the
Angels got
killed in a
automobile
hit and run
accident.
Last night.
Aidenhart.
I didn't realize.
22 years old. It's a hit and run.
Dallas is just crazy enough to trade their first round pick for the 34 next for this year.
Yeah.
That's 34 this year.
Certainly.
You know, they don't have a first round pick this year. They gave it away for Roy Williams, right?
Right. Right. So then you pick up an extra second rounder this year, and then you trade away your first rounder next year. But then you go 2 years in a row with no first rounder, though. That might be tough to do.
But
although I think
they're
you're
just
right.
crazy John, enough,
Jerry Jones would do it.
And we know he falls in love with guys, whether it's in free agency or the draft. He sees a guy
now,
and he decides it's him.
I would be with Fred. I think that's too high for Pat White.
I agree. I
mean, I'm thinking of the last second round pick into the third round.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, guys. Thanks.
All right, John. Thanks,
John and Dallas. How about Percy Harvin at 34?
I would take him at 34.
We're starting to get big in Texas lately.
We are big.
Everything's bigger in Texas, including PFW.
According to this mock number 30, Tennessee, Percy Harvin, wide receiver, Florida.
I like Percy Harvin, and I don't think you can discount the personal interaction that the two have had with Belichick and him. So, again, I'm not trying to split the atom or anything. I'm just looking at what Bill is doing in terms of what he's been talking about at press conferences recently, the last few years. You know, the single wing stuff and the wildcat and those slash kind of players Andy brought up that he's really gone overboard on. And now you know that they're getting a lot of interest in Pat White. I know that they've been interested in a lot of guys over the years. I don't know if that was smokescreen or if it just worked out those guys weren't available when they wanted to take them.
Right.
It could be as simple as that.
Yep. All right. Web radio at patriots.com. I think that's the first time I gave out the email address. And 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com. Want to remind everyone that on draft day, Saturday and Sunday, we're going to have special editions of PFW in Progress. Saturday, it's from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. And on Sunday, it's from 12 to 3.
But they're also podcasts, so they're available anytime.
But you want to get it live. Oh, of course, that's when the action
is. If you can't get it live, you go back and listen later.
You want to get it live. Yeah, okay.
Unfortunately, most people can't.
We want
do it live.
We want people listening live.
Draft day. Draft day will be the 6 month mark until our game in London.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay. Very good, Eric. That's
good. We got a lot of fans
very
in the
good,
UK.
Eric. And
just
$22.50. I saw AAA is selling packages to go to the game.
Really?
Includes
the ticket.
Tickets, airfare, and hotel for $22.50
a
person.
That's not bad.
Do you know if tickets are available anywhere? I had a couple of people ask me about that.
I don't think they will
AAA.
Be. I think they will be available.
They've already made them available, though.
Yeah, you had like a thing where you could sign up on the NFL.com site and get them. But I think that's over now. And now they're allotting them to
the teams
and stuff.
Yeah. But they sold out a lot in that first
batch.
So there's not really a lot left to choose from.
So that's going
to be a big Pats crowd.
Do you know anything more about that trip in regards to us?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Are we going?
We are. We'll talk about it.
Well, this is PFW in Progress. I thought that's what we did.
Yeah.
Only when it suits his needs.
Well, it includes team travel, too, so I don't want to talk about things I'm not supposed to talk about.
Well, there's an answer to one question right there. We're traveling with the team.
That's correct.
Well done, Fred. All right.
All right. Well,
I want to talk about this. I like this mock a lot, actually, even though it's not worth the paper it's written on, but I think it's interesting talk radio. 31, Arizona, Larry English. Would you consider, if you took whoever else at 23, moving up to 31, if Larry English is still there a couple picks away?
Yes.
I would, too. I think 23 is a bit of a reach, which Patriots Football Weekly projected in their upcoming issue that's on newsstands now.
Well, yeah, the one in which you didn't take part at all.
That's accurate.
But
I'm distancing myself from the terrible, terrible pick.
For the past month, he's been talking about how much he likes Larry English.
Oh,
and
I love him.
We took him, and he doesn't want him.
You know, it's about value. Bill and I see eye to eye on this. You can't just take a guy at 23 because you have a pick if he's not worth the pick. It's about value.
Who would you have taken then?
I don't know. I don't know who was available.
You tell me who you'd want at 23. I'll tell you if he was available.
I don't know. I'll look at it. But you would move up a little bit to get Larry English.
I would move up to 31, certainly.
Into the first round. Would you, Fred? Who's Larry English?
No, I mean, you guys have talked enough about him.
If you had a secondary guy, you got in a cornerback. Or
what if you took Donald Brown at 23?
Or an offensive line. I'd be very surprised if they took a running back.
I would be very surprised if they took a
running back. Not stunned, but surprised. I don't think they need a running back in the first round.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jim from Texas is on the phone.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips, and we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
MLS soccer action returns to Foxborough as the Revs kick off the 2009 season.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Be a part of the action all season long as the Revs make another run at the Super Liga Championship and an MLS Cup Championship. Season tickets are now on sale for the 2009 season. This 20-game package features 15 regular season and 5 exclusive soccer matches. The Revs kick off 2009 on April 4th when they take on FC Dallas. See a Super Liga final rematch with the Houston Dynamo. Conference rival TC United's only trip to Foxborough. Be there when the LA Galaxy take on the Revs, the reigning MLS Cup champion Columbus Crew, and many more. Taylor Twellman.
Oh, what a goal!
Goal by Taylor Twellman.
Matt Reese.
Off the line and saved by Reese.
And the rest of the Revs are set to kick off 09. And you won't want to miss a minute of the exciting action at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS to get your 2009 season tickets. Pride, passion, revolution.
In your business, you know the receptionist, the bookkeeper, the head of human resources, the marketing director, the head of sales, the director of transportation, the janitor, the building superintendent, and the CEO. Because they're all you. This is America. There's no shortage of entrepreneurial spirit around here, just a shortage of time for small businesses to nurture it. Bank of America helps you save time with easier bookkeeping through online banking and online reports. With accounts that charge no monthly maintenance fee for checking when you make purchases monthly with your Visa Business Check Card. And with easy access to account information and protection against unauthorized transactions. Want to have a bank that knows small business? You can with Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. To apply, come by or click bankofamerica.com/yourbusiness.
We waive the monthly maintenance fee on a business economy checking account for each statement period in the month following a qualifying point-of-sale Bank of America Visa Business Check Card purchase. Ask an associate for details. Copyright 2009 Bank of America Corporation N.A. Member FDIC.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say. Or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again. Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, mic is on. We're all ready. Want to thank Pizzeria Grande for supplying us food today.
That all looks so good.
Yeah, too. Just without anyone doing it for us.
You deadbeats fell through for
Grande
us.
Grande just stepped right up and said, we cannot have our PFW in Progress guys go without. So they were just so nice to send us lunch. And, of course, if you're in the Walpole area of Massachusetts and you're feeling a little peckish, stop into Pizzeria Grande and mention this show, and they'll give you a free soda.
And some victuals.
Victuals. Like? That's
victuals.
What you said,
man. Yes.
And not just now, but they can keep this in mind if they're coming to the games later in the year. It'd be a nice stop. Pick up some subs before you come in, right on the way in. Isn't there a back way you can get in that way?
There's a very good back way.
You like going in the back way handy, huh?
Oh.
Not as expensive
Eric,
as
quick
you
on
are.
The draw.
Oh.
Wow.
Breaking news, Marshawn Lynch suspended 3 games.
Yes, that was this morning.
Okay, well, they shouldn't have breaking news up there then.
All right, on the phone right now is Jim.
I apologize, Paul.
Jim from Texas. Jim, how you doing?
Fred, it's so good to hear you guys. You guys are having a great show today. I love the draft, and this is one of the better shows. I'd like to get right in on this, start off with the whole Cutler deal, something I want to touch on.
Okay.
Okay, here's what I think right now. Because the Bears gave up a king's ransom for him, and they didn't sign him to an extension, the Bears are going to stink. I mean, I've pretty much accepted that with Cutler because he has no weapons, a limited running game. They have no depth on defense, and they don't have any kind of – they've lost a lot of quality picks for Cutler, and now they can't really fix a lot of problems they're going to have. He's going to tell you right now, he's going to be he's going to be a jerk to them once he realizes his team that he went to stinks, and that Denver, because they have so many extra picks, they can fix that defense. And I think with Orton, I think McDaniels can kind of hide him like he did. I mean, he can play to his strengths like he did with Castle. I think the Broncos could, after this draft, be one of the better teams in the AFC West, certainly.
I think you've hit on it.
You could be. Now, their problem last year was their defense, though.
Right, so, but they have a lot of picks.
They do, but you can't count on those guys right away coming in and fixing
Mike
their
Nolan
defense.
Mike Nolan is considered a pretty good defensive coach. I mean, he's taking over the defense.
Yeah,
so.
No, they
okay.
Yep.
No, I'd like to also talk about Larry English again. It's funny you were talking about him. I was actually going to talk to him about before I even heard the show. I'm listening to you live now. But anyways, Larry English at I think Larry English is a Bronco at 18. I did a mock draft, and I kind of saw Denver taking him at 18. If he's not on the board, Eric, this is to you, my man. Who do we take at 23 if English is not on the board?
It depends who's gone before there. I mean, if Maluga's because if Maluga's still available, I'd say they probably take Maluga.
So you think one of those guys would be available?
If Everett Brown is still available, you take Everett Brown.
I don't think there's any way Everett Brown's available at 23.
It's okay. If all of their top tier options at outside linebacker / defensive end, are no longer available, then they might have to consider going for the best corner.
Okay.
At that point.
But I also think that plays into what we really our team needs, our outside linebacker and corner. So I think that we're picking I agree with Andy, by the way, that I think Bill relishes where he's at. He really has a ton of ammunition where he could trade. I hope he doesn't trade. I hope, Eric, you're right, that they take the first four picks and they really load this defense up for the next few years. Because
I'd
like to see them get three really solid players on defense, one offensive player, and all of a sudden this team can be stacked for the next 3 years. But in short, Fred, your commitment to this team, I was wondering about it, but it's you're the ultimate homer still. I believe
Thank
in you again. Because I was starting to wonder about you, but it's like, get ready for the draft, because this is going to be the best draft in the history of this team.
Wow.
I mean, and I'll be saying this, and Fred, I'll give you money every time, I'll buy you lunch every time I say this. Just give us the trophy if we pick really well.
Absolutely.
This is going to be the best damn draft this past team has ever had with all the guys we got coming.
Nice.
Peace out, guys.
All right, Jim in Texas.
Brings a lot of emotion
between
to his calls.
Jim.
I like that.
And Goose, Rick Goslin.
Yeah.
A lot of love for the Patriots in Texas.
I'm telling you.
Did you read that piece?
Yes, I did. Did you link to that today, Eric? In the
that was
blitz?
Yesterday. Fred.
Yeah, you don't have to reading. Scold me. I'm just asking.
I'm not scolding you. I just said
you were a bit on the attack, and you were a day late and a dollar short.
Who sent it to you, Eric?
Me?
Not you.
Oh, okay.
Who sent it to you?
You did.
Thank you.
2 days ago.
Right.
That's why I put it in yesterday.
Okay. Who's late on it? who's a day late?
What?
I'm the one
What's that
noticed it. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. WebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address. WebRadio at Patriots.com. What?
Can I play for a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought Jim made some good points, and I definitely agree with the last part about I think Bill, and I said it, I think Bill is really loving where he is right now in the draft. I'd be very, very surprised if they moved up in the first round. Now, Andy's scenario about moving up early in the second round into the late first round or something like that, that I could see. But I really don't see them moving up from 23.
Well,
unless some real sweetheart deal.
I don't see them moving up more than 3 or 4 spots.
Yeah, because let's say.
But if Everett Brown, they love Everett Brown.
If he fell to like 15, 16.
Kuiper has him at 18.
Yeah. The writer's mock draft that we did, he fell to 20. So there's,
And I don't know that it's Everett Brown, but if the player they really like slips, I could see them moving up a couple spots, but not.
Especially
not to 12 or whatever.
But getting back to the Chicago-Denver thing. I think it's way overanalyzed. It all comes down to me, how Jay Cutler plays. If Jay Cutler plays well, the Bears have tons of money now to fix what they want. And if I had my choice between money and draft picks to fix my problems, I'd rather have the money. Because you can't really – I think you made a good point, Fred. I don't care how many draft picks Denver devotes to defense. If they're not better coached
– right.
And they didn't have some of the guys that they picked up via free agency pan out, they're not going to be that much better.
Right.
So it might be good for the long haul to have some draft picks as well, but they have $25-plus million. They didn't want to re-sign Cutler to an extension. That's not what they wanted to do. They have him under contract for 3 years at very affordable dollars. They should get 2 years out of him before they have to worry about extending him if he plays well. I think at the end of that, you might be looking at Chicago and saying, wow, they gave up an awful lot for him, but they're a pretty good team. He plays well. If he doesn't, it's a disaster.
WebRadio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Let's go back to the phones. Brian and Brighton's on the phone right now.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Brian.
What's up, Brian?
Not much. Paul, I just got to give you some props. I mean, I thought you were full of it when you were going through the whole comparison of Castle with what's his name?
Kyle Orton. Yeah, I really got killed for that on the radio and the WEEI.
And I did. I mean, looks like McDaniels agrees with you.
Yeah.
Again, that doesn't make it right, but I just didn't think there was a huge difference if I was Chicago having Kyle Orton. Now, here, the big difference is not necessarily player for player, but all the resources that it would have taken you to have to go get Castle. You would have had to make a big trade and give him big money. With Orton, they already had him. They didn't have to do anything. And I didn't think there was that much of a difference between the two quarterbacks. We'll see how much of a difference, because obviously McDaniels is going to be able to put him in a very similar system with pretty good weapons. So if Kyle Orton can't – Kyle Orton's like 21-10 as a starting quarterback.
Well, and I think what – I mean, you see that with what's going on in Kansas City. I mean, they're not going for the long-term contract. They don't want to commit any more than they already have to commit by picking up Castle.
Well, I don't know if that's Kansas City not doing it or they want to do it and they don't have a deal that Castle's people like. I don't know yet. But
I'm getting the impression that they're holding out. I don't know. I mean, it seems it to me if they haven't done it by now, I don't know if they're going to do anything before the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to bring up, I know it's slightly off topic, but one thing, and I had a good buddy I used to always watch games with down in North Carolina, was a Pittsburgh fan, and he used to always harass because, you know, I would always say that Belichick is a great coach, but there's one coach that just seems to be his nemesis. And if let me ask you guys, do you have any guess who I'm talking about?
Mike Shanahan.
There you go. There you go. And so I'm just wondering, is anybody in the AFC East going to be smart enough to hire that guy within the next couple years?
As their head coach? Or
if I were the Bills, I'd be looking at him.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's all, you know, I'm just freaking out because I think that, you know, if anyone had half a brain in the AFC East, they would scoop that guy up at any opportunity they get, because that would automatically make them a contender with the Patriots.
Well, you would think that if the Bills had let Geron go, like everyone expected them to, that he would have been a candidate there.
Sure. Well, the rumor is, I mean, Shanahan wasn't even really interested for something this year.
Right. So he takes a year off. Geron gets the boot next year, and he slides right in.
Either that or...
The only thing I don't know is money-wise. I mean, he's a marquee coach. He's going to be looking for big money. I don't know if Buffalo's going to be willing to commit big money.
Yeah, and there's also...
Maybe they'll be Toronto at the time.
That's a good point.
That's a good point.
But, you know, maybe he saw what was available this year as far as head coaching jobs and said, you know what, I really don't want to go to any one of these teams.
Right.
So I'll sit out this year and see what comes available next year.
I think he legitimately wanted to, like, step back, recharge the batteries in one place for a long time.
Well, he's guaranteed the money anyways, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So it's not like he's hurting. Right.
Yeah, he's making $7 million.
Itch again, I just think that, you know, if they were smart, anybody in the AFC East would drop whoever they got.
It's an interesting theory.
But, all right, fellas, I'll let you continue with the draft talk.
All right, Brian and Brighton.
Take it easy, fellas. Bye.
Brian and Brighton calling in. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Talking about Pat White earlier, TG and Joyzy writes in, it seems to me that Belichick is always interested in schemes and personnel that work against him, i.e. Manning to Harrison, Wes Welker, Mike Shanahan, the Wildcat offense. Look what he's done to answer these issues. Signs Randy Moss for Brady, steals Welker from the Dolphins, somehow got Pat Bowlen to fire Mike Shanahan and hire Josh McDaniels. Now I think he's trying
That's a good line.
Now I think he's trying to answer the Wildcat offense conundrum. I'll bet he's still steaming about that Miami game last year. Pat White might be the player he needs. If available, I would not be surprised if Belichick picks him with that 34th pick. If Belichick can figure out how to run the Wildcat in the pro game, then he'll get a jump on how to best defend it against it as well.
I'd be a little surprised if it's the 34 pick.
That's pretty high now.
Yeah, I would be too. But I definitely, obviously, based on the first segment of the show, agree with the overall premise. I think that.
Sure.
And Fred definitely agrees that 34 would be too high because he thinks first day anywhere is way too high.
Stripper says, is the Wildcat formation here to stay? With all the talk of White being a Wildcat quarterback, do you think this formation has legs or will it be well defended this coming year and gone by 2010-2011?
Well, all the experts, including Bill, say you take it to the next level with a guy with the ability to throw the football. Mm-hmm. Because right now it's these running backs running it, okay, Ronnie Brown threw the football against Patriots, but he's not a quarterback. So if they get a couple guys, Tebow and Pat White, in the league, it might have legs for a while.
And, yes, I think it will be better defended, though, somewhat, because most teams won't have that kind of guy, and teams will have the tape of the teams like the Dolphins who ran it and will be able to maybe scheme against it better.
Mm-hmm. Now, and wasn't it better defended toward the end of the year?
A little bit, yeah. The Dolphins didn't have quite as much success as they did in that week. Was it week three last year?
I don't think they'll ever have as much success as they had.
That was...
But...
The Dolphins had reasonable success, but the Patriots obviously was night and day.
Right.
Yeah. The way they defended it the second time.
But I think teams that don't have a guy like that who can throw, they'll see that it'll be a tougher time. But teams who do get a guy like that may see it even better because now teams won't know, you know, how to react to that.
It's still a strange situation because you get to Tebow. Where is he going to be drafted? Right. What is he? Do you risk a if you think he's a franchise quarterback, do you risk him running all this wildcat crap, or do you try to take that away like they did with Vic?
I know Tebow's a great quarterback for Florida, but I see him even less of a chance of doing wildcat than Pat White because he's not as fast.
Right. He's a power runner. That's what we were talking about. But I don't know that he's a franchise quarterback.
I don't think he is.
You really don't listen to us, do you?
He doesn't.
I don't. Brian,
it shows in your football analysis.
Brian in Tuscaloosa writes in, screw Jason Taylor, flash players, and read my email, he says. What gives, Fred? You plug the email address constantly, but only read the same handful of writers' emails.
Wow.
Mix it up and read mine for a change.
Ooh,
you've missed the last five that I wrote.
The last
five. Yeah, we said that, too. You missed the last five
But
that
you're
I wrote.
Still the best and the only one I trust at the helm of the ship. Well, given what you have to choose from, I can understand that. Can we please give up on Jason Taylor? I'm sick of his prima donna going back and forth on his feelings toward the Pats and Finns. Let him go back to Miami and let us get another O-lineman to stop him and Porter's big mouth from getting to Brady and also put Andy in jail before Brady.
Another O-lineman to stop him? When did you get the first one
stop him? I kind of share Brian's sentiment a little bit about Jason Taylor. I'm getting a little tired now.
I am too. Mm-hmm.
We crossed Jason Taylor off the list.
Yeah,
Eric and I talked about this morning. He's talking a little too much for my liking.
Yeah.
Either make a decision, go somewhere, or shut up, disappear, for whatever. If you want to wait, wait, but don't talk about it every day.
Right.
And he had the most ridiculous quote today.
Yeah.
Somebody asked him about the Jets. They just brought up that is a possibility. And his answer was, it would be very, very, very difficult. You know, he gave the whole answer about playing in the same division.
Right.
But he said, I guess, though, if it came down to they were the only team that gave me an option to play, I would either have to retire or maybe go and play.
Thanks.
Well, yeah, those are the
idiot
two options.
Yeah.
I mean what kind of a
– Yeah.
It's just useless.
Yeah, he's beginning to say a little bit too much. And the more he says, it's like Roger Clemens, the more it doesn't make sense.
Which makes me even more confident that the Peppers thing is going to go down on draft day.
Okay.
I go way back to the beginning of the Jason Taylor thing when Andy and I were talking
about...
They
were making all their picks. How are they going to make all their picks and get Julius Peppers?
Players will be involved.
Okay, but, now we're trading Lawrence Maroney for Julius Peppers.
At the very beginning when we talked about Jason Taylor and we said that there's a lot of... you know, the whole situation in Washington, which wasn't money related, it was commitment related. And Andy and I kind of wondered, how does he fit in with Bill? Doesn't seem like something Bill, you know, and Bill had that quote in Fox, I think it was on Fox Sports, about the reason he likes the veteran free agents because he knows he's getting hungry players
right.
at the end of their career that know what it takes. And it seems like Jason Taylor might be at the end of his career.
Might not be that hungry.
But you're wondering how hungry
right.
he is.
Right.
That's what I've been saying all along.
Yeah.
You say a lot of things. Wait a minute. One of your things was they were getting Peppers and Taylor.
No, that was not one of my things. I threw that out there just as an idea.
Why would you throw that out there?
I think that would
as a discussion point on the show.
One of your
so you don't believe it? That was one of your things.
No, I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right. I don't believe Brady should go to jail for 3 months either.
I just threw that out there as a talking point the other day?
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't one of my things.
It wasn't. I haven't espoused it since then. You've been talking nonstop about it.
About what?
Will you bereft of that kind of talk?
You're misusing the word.
I could go for something sweet now.
Yeah, there's fried dough. You ordered it.
Oh!
You fat bastard.
Oh, man, you just made my day.
Hey, FB.
Hey, on the phone right now is James in New Hampshire. James, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I was just listening in and heard you talking about Tom Brady going to prison. What's that all about?
Nothing.
Absolutely
Andy's
nothing.
Just being a smart
no,
ass.
We were talking. Did you see the reports that there may have been some gunfire at his recent wedding?
Yeah, I heard about them firing on reporters and stuff
well,
like that. So.
We don't even know if that's true or not, but I was joking that if their bodyguards did it, that he should go to jail and bear some responsibility. But I was
I'm not sure. Well, it depends. Well, I don't know about that. But we'll see. Can the bodyguards play any football or not?
I don't know.
Got his priorities straight.
Hey, James, by the way, are you the James that contacted me before. You have the connection with the UK Patriots. You
No, there's too many Jameses. That's not me. Oh, okay. I live in the US now, so I have no real contact with them.
All right, never mind. There was another James, I think, in New Hampshire that worked with. They're kind of like the UK Patriots representative here. Oh. I need to get in touch with that person.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Anyway, James, what do you got?
What else you
got? Nothing much. I was listening to the podcast the other day, and I was thinking about what you were saying about the rookie contracts and what proportion of the salary cap it takes. And I'm just wondering, are you doing any more with that, Fred, or has that sort of gone by the by?
No, I'm still working on it.
Yeah, because what I was thinking, although it may seem a little boring, is what you should look at is what proportion rookie contracts take up of the salary cap each year, and also whether the increase in rookie contracts is comparable to the increase in the salary cap.
Okay.
If the rookie contracts go up by a certain percent...
No, I know what you're saying, yeah.
More than the salary cap. Anyway, yeah. That's a boring aside.
But then also to factor in there, what's the production you're getting out of that rookie pool? Of, you know, so I think you're on the right track. You're thinking the same things that I'm thinking.
The thing is, if rookie contracts continue to increase at a greater proportion than the salary cap increases, that means every year, you know, whereas it may have been, you know, 18% of your salary cap was taken up by rookies, the next year it's going to be 19, 20, 21. And if it's a trend that's left uncapped, it's basically going to become untenable if the two rates are going up at a different amount. If the increases are different, then you can't really keep going that way.
And I'm paying for more and getting less.
Exactly that. I think they should just apply a certain level of your salary cap can be spent on rookies each year. And then if the salary cap increases by a certain percent, that's how much you can pay rookies even more.
Well,
if you limit it and say, look, the salary cap, 15% of your salary cap can be paid to rookie contracts for that year.
They do something. There is a rookie pool. You have a certain allotted amount of money to spend on your rookies under your cap when you sign them. I don't know where the exact figure comes from in terms of percentages and how it goes up year to year. Fred's going to effort to get all that information. But there is a rookie pool that you are given a certain number that you are then to use for signing your rookies.
Do you think anyone is going to turn down a rookie top draft choice or not?
No.
Hmm.
I don't.
You mean you skip it? You mean just not make a pick in the draft?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you guys were talking the other day about Detroit just saying that we don't want it, thanks.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think it's going to happen.
What do you guys think of Rashad Johnson as well?
Safety at Alabama?
Yeah. Solid player.
I like him, and I like the fact the system thing, because I like when Bill brings in rookies that have some knowledge of his system.
Well, I think Saban said he was the best defensive back he's ever coached, and I don't know if he said that was just for college or what. Also, I think he was the reason I like him is initially he was a walk-on, and then he was a two-time captain. And apparently, in Alabama history, there's only been eight guys who have ever been two-time captains.
I'll tell you what: if Saban said he's the best defensive back he's ever coached, that'll go a long way with Bill because Bill.
Yeah, no, I've definitely seen that in a quote.
That's a glowing recommendation, because there's nobody that Bill has more respect for, especially defensively, than Saban's.
I just thought he looked like a really good all-around player. Mm-hmm. There was so many things that I thought he did well. You know, he patrolled like the deep half, like that's, you know, like a good center fielder needs to. Great ball skills. I mean, again, we see highlights that are generally all the best plays that guys make. So sometimes we get deceived, but when you factor in the intangibles that you just talked about, James, along with the, you know, some of the quality plays that we saw, we were all pretty high on him.
From what I read, is the way Alabama do it is they nominate seniors to be captains, and then everyone votes on it. Apparently, they voted this guy when he was a junior, and he was a walk-on anyway, so he wasn't highly recruited. But when he was a junior, someone sort of pipped up and said, I think this guy should be captain. And the rest of the teammates said, yeah, that was great. And it was only the eighth time in Alabama history that someone's been two-time captain. So I thought that was a pretty good report on, you know, what his teammates think of him and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's a good note.
All right then, guys. Now, I've been sending in a few MP3s, so you should ask Gary as to why he's not been sending them.
Well, if you send them to Gary,
because he got laid off 6 months ago.
No, one. No, I've been sending him into T-Gender, but I don't know if he's playing them or not. So.
No, he hasn't.
No, he's been shirking his responsibilities on the show.
And we actually fired him last week. He's gone.
That's very
he's a shirk.
So it's Dvorkin will look into your MP3s and play them in the future.
No problem. Because I spend a lot of time. No. It's you may not recognize the accent. I'll give you that away as a hint.
Oh, interesting. Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
Well done, James.
All right, guys. Well, I'm thinking another thing. Either I'm thinking either I buy you guys lunch, or I may lay a bet on the Patriots on your behalf and give you guys the winnings on behalf of lunch.
Oh, we can't take part in that.
I would just
I know you guys can't
lunch.
Take part in that. I may do it on your behalf, but if that's the case, I'll just kick it to the fund.
Yes. All right,
that's what I like to hear. Fill the fund.
Thank you so much, Jim.
No problem, guys.
See you, Jim.
And any tips on London, give me an email and I'll tell you all the good restaurants and places to go out and stuff like that. I lived there for a couple of years.
Oh, great. Awesome. Thank you.
Send it along.
All right.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, Jim.
Thanks, James.
Bye-bye.
I thought Jim was, like, from Texas. I didn't know he's from London.
There is a Jim. There's two Jims
I'm only
and a John.
Because of the accent.
You know what I thought?
What?
That fried dough was for all of us.
Oh, really?
That's like...
No, I ordered it. I specifically ordered it.
That's huge.
You're
going to
eat the whole thing, you fat bastard?
No, I'm just... I'm going to rip this last piece off, and then you, fathead, can have the rest. Because you know he's...
The rest?
Well, some of it. Do you want some, Paul?
Sure.
Well, why don't you ask?
I was waiting my turn.
Ask and thy shall receive.
I was being polite.
Cormac writes in.
Eric, would you like some?
Shut up.
This is good for cholesterol, I hear.
Oh, that's not nice.
No, it's not. He's an awful person.
This is true.
Cormac says, hey, Frederick, fat man, the leg, daddy shart, and the doctor. So it's my birthday, and I need to write in and let you guys know that, obviously, Cormac's birthday.
Happy birthday, Cormac.
Eric, why don't you sing a couple bars? Come on.
Gee, I wonder how he'll celebrate his birthday.
Sing him some happy birthday.
Cormac?
Yeah.
It'll
involve liquids.
Sure.
I told Cormac that if he bought lunch for all of us today, that you guys would all sing.
We would have.
He didn't do that, so you don't need to sing.
But Erican, if you want to warble a couple
that
bars
out.
For him.
No? Happy birthday's week. That's not a good one.
Dude, sing what you want. Sing a Sinatra song for him.
I'm the cranky one. Happy birthday's week.
Yeah. Oh, say can you see by the dawn.
Happy birthday is week. What is wrong with you?
So why don't you come up
There's
with
little
a new,
kids all over the place
a new happy birthday,
birthday
ballad that the world can, you know, adopt.
Sing I Kissed a Boy and I Liked It.
Where? All right.
Oh, Fred.
Cormac goes on to
have a salad.
All right. Well, anyway, happy birthday, Cormac. And he says, thirdly, we didn't even get to secondly. he says, secondly, as it's my birthday, I'm the kind of guy that likes to give, behave, Andy. Please pencil me in for lunch whenever the next time you guys need it.
Except Tuesday.
Today.
It would have been today. Anyway, thirdly, I was wondering at what point you would start making more concrete plans for London. I guess the quiet time of June will allow you guys to properly plan something then. I am guessing an event on the Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning would be best for you. I don't know if Wembley allows tailgate parties and alcohol consumption in its car park, as you don't get that with rugby and soccer matches. You get drinking inside the stadium, sure, but not really in the car parks.
Wait, they get all that violence and hooliganism without even allowing tailgating?
Holy
crap.
Yeah, no, they meet up in the bars, and they basically say to these other hooligans, we're going to meet you here and here, and this is where we're going to fight.
What?
Yeah. That happens in the bars.
Really?
Before the yeah.
Have you've witnessed this?
I've been told that by someone who
was taking part?
Somebody who did security?
Yeah. Anyway, finally I want to apologize to Andy as I was giving him a roasting on PFW for the name he gave his daughter. I hope his fat head can forgive me, but I am right about his wife's name. It's an Irish name and it's pronounced Deirdre.
But there's no R in it. There's no R in it.
It doesn't matter. It's pronounced Deirdre.
No, because there is one that has an R before the D. Hers doesn't.
But it's an Irish name pronounced Deirdre. Okay.
First of all, she's not Irish and there's no R. So it's not pronounced Deirdre.
It sounds better as Deirdre.
She has no Irish in her blood.
She's got a little now.
Oh!
Whoa! Paul just choked on his fried dough.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Before me, she was all German.
Before you, she was all German.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, William Berry, Paul's favorite emailer, he comes up, he writes in with a really good idea, I think.
Get rid of Paul?
No. He says, guys, especially Eric, he writes in, what if I or somebody emails an address Eric does not have access to, a weird word like nescience, or which means lack of awareness, ignorance, pronounced nescience or nescience. That way we can either laugh at Eric not being as well educated as he lets on, or at the weird words no one ever uses. About regular season ties, McNabb proved his nescience. If everyone is for it, but Eric is violently opposed to being shown up weekly, then forget I said anything. Eric, would any online English dictionary be okay? I mean real dictionary, not urban.
You willing to do this?
I'm willing to do it for two reasons.
I'm a genius.
Sorry.
Why don't you shut your fat head?
Wow, Eric's mad.
No, because, A, if I don't know the word, I will have learned a new word that our friend William Berry would have put forth. And I, unlike a lot of people around here, am not afraid to learn new things.
Wow.
I'm not afraid to learn
new
things.
And two, if I know the word, then I get to throw it all in your face.
That's rare, though. You're not throwing it in my face. I don't know what kind of guy you think I am. But.
I know what kind of guy you are. You need to come out of the closet. That's
all right, so during the show, you know, because Eric gets access to the web radio emails, but if you do it during the show, I'm the only one that can see it. So it's for live listeners only. It has to be out of a standard dictionary. It can't be out of, like, the urban
dictionary nonsense.
You know, so it has to be a word, a King's English word.
There's the really good one. Really good online dictionary is Princeton has a word library.
He has to recommend the dictionary.
Bill, I'm sure you wouldn't have been able to find a dictionary on your own, so let Eric, please, lead you in the right direction.
All right, so if anyone wants to take part in that little per show exercise, we'll do that. And then what happens if someone stumps you?
Then I learn a new word.
We send him a T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Do we have any more T-shirts?
Left?
Yeah, we might be able to send him a
Catholic?
T-shirt.
we might be able to wrestle one or two of those up.
Free Patriots United as well.
William, one thing, make sure, well, try if you can.
Signed by Paul Perillo?
Send the word in during the show.
Yeah,
because otherwise, Eric will get it beforehand and cheat.
Or send it to one of your personal accounts.
No, I don't want it in my personal account.
That's Paul. All right, so that's
he already has mine because somehow I get his emails.
We'll do that. All right, but it has to be.
So we're actually cleaning things up. We're going from the urban dictionary word of the day to the dictionary.
I know how you can do it.
The Princeton dictionary word of the day.
I know you can do it. Do it the way Brian mistakenly was doing it the other day, that Brian in Santa Cruz
put
a period at the end of webradio@patriots.com, and then it'll go straight to your inbox, Fred.
Yeah, that's true. We could do that.
Or just send it during the show.
We don't need it.
Let's see.
Today's Eric Scalavino word of the day is...
Jeff writes in.
Pomposity.
And he says,
as in the Prince of Pomposity.
Jeff writes in and he says, I hope that Brady never talks to you guys again. All you do since he has not played last year is criticize and rank on him. I remember when you talked about his hat he had on. It was a regular hat, never stupid, and you guys go on and on.
Never stupid.
Leave him alone, and I hope he never talks to you guys again. You are so ridiculous.
Yeah, he doesn't talk to me. Yeah,
I could put up with him never talking to me again because he hasn't talked to me in the last 3 years anyway.
Besides, he doesn't really say much.
He has nothing to say.
Oh, and we were talking about the MP3 emails. We got a couple.
Mikey Vandalism?
Yep. Let's see. Hey, all at PFW. Here's the latest and greatest MP3 from yours truly, Mikey V. Radio quality, as always. Enjoy.
What's up, guys? At PFW in Progress, this is Mikey Vandalism coming to you from East Haven, Connecticut, with another premium question. So my question for this week is Vince Wilfork did an interview with Comcast this past week, and he kind of left it up in the air. He didn't seem too optimistic about getting a new deal done with the New England Patriots. So, I don't know. It's just the vibe I got from it. It kind of left it open-ended. So do you think that's going to be a major priority this offseason? And if and when do you think they'll be able to do it? Do you think it'll be before or after the draft? And if it would be after the draft, do you think they're waiting to see if maybe B.J. Raji falls down to them in the draft with all the speculation with the marijuana charges and whatever? Maybe they could get him younger and cheaper. But what are your thoughts on that?
After the draft,
I would think, if at all. I agree.
I think I don't think they would have any interest in Raji.
Why?
Because I think they want Vince to come back, and I think they're going to get the deal done.
Well, I think they want Vince to come back, but if they get the feeling that it's not going to happen, that he's looking for $100 million like Albert Haynesworth, then I think B.J. Raji becomes very palatable.
But then
and
that
if he
would
slips
mean,
to 23, well, then
B.J.
Raji
is available at 23.
If he's available at 23, which I don't think is going to happen,
I don't think it will happen either.
But if they get the sense that Vince doesn't want to come back or he wants too much money, I don't see them trading up the necessary spots to get Raji.
I would agree with that, but it. I think that would represent such value that they could sign Vince Wilfork to a 5-year extension a week before the draft, and Rajee would be available at 23, and they would still take him.
Right.
Just for depth, you mean? Or for the
I mean, you just, I mean, when you get that kind of value on the board, I don't really see how you could pass it up, unless there was like two or three other guys similarly valued that maybe made more sense at a position. But that's, when Rajee is supposed to go in some places the top 10.
Right.
You know, but top 15 pretty much everywhere,
six
right?
For this one may.
Pretty much top 15.
So I'd be surprised if he's you know, sniffing around the 20s. Yeah. And if he is, I think the Patriots would jump on him. Much like when Will Fork himself was taken in 20, at 24, I think.
He wasn't supposed to be around that long either. Even with the need at outside linebacker,
one of those guys
is still there.
There's more needs. There's no question. That's why I said if there's, you know, like Everett Brown, to use your guy, that would be the similar kind of value drop. They would take Everett Brown over B.J. Raji, I would think, because it's the value plus the need.
Right.
All right, Kieran.
But I don't think that he will get re-signed to an extension anytime before the draft. Which
you know, something
kind of like
happened there because
Haynesworth.
I was just going to say, you know, before it was a little bit more optimistic, and then all of a sudden things changed. And I think, Paul, you're right. I think it was the Haynesworth deal reset the market.
Yeah, and it makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, he'd be foolish to sign a deal now before he's, you know, that's a big changing contract.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Kieran in Ireland says, hey, PFW crew and the doctor. First of all, I would like to welcome Andy's little shart into the world. only kidding. Congratulations, Andy.
Thank you.
I'm sick and tired of all these mock drafts that have the Pats taking Clay Matthews with the 23rd pick. In my opinion, the only reason they have the Pats taking him is because the guy is white. He was the walk-on and started as a special teamer third round at the earliest. Also, the NFL Network is a joke. I don't need to see Jamie Dukes, Marshall Faulk, Warren Sapp, and Deion Sanders argue about McJaygate. That's all they have talked about for the last 2 months. I'd rather see Mike Mayock talk about the best punters in college. At least it would have something to do with the draft. And, Paul, your unhealthy obsession with Northeastern basketball is becoming a concern. I too have supported sports teams for no logical reason in the past. This was until I realized it was, in fact, because of guilt. Please, Paul, see a shrink, and if you have time, a fitness coach. If you are unwilling to do this, I will gladly join NAMBLA and support you in any way I can.
Wow. That's the Northeastern Athletics Men's Basketball Love Association.
That was a very, very good email.
So,
Was that?
That was Kieran.
Kieran from Ireland.
In Ireland. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Thank again, Pizzeria Grandi, for the lovely food today. And if you're in the Walpole area. They're on Washington Street in Walpole.
It's in that fried dough.
You know, even if you know, if you don't live there and you know somebody that does, call them up and have some food delivered to your friend's house.
A chicken parm calzone. Best thing on the menu.
So support Pizzeria Grandi. Also, I want to remind people that on draft day, Saturday, PFW Progress Draft Show will be 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's because the draft doesn't start till 4 o'clock this year. So,
yeah. I'm not happy about that.
They're moving later and later every year now.
Yeah, it's stupid. Like
it. And then on Sunday, we'll be on from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So,
just watching some of these clips on NFL Network, they're showing tailgating fans, and they have this bacon that's frying over an open flame that's on a saw. They have the saw laid out over the grill, and they have bacon on top of the saw. And then they have a toilet bowl that's used as a cooler. And they have all this ice with the beer cans in there. I'm like, who does these things? Well,
football
fans. Wouldn't it be easier to just get a cooler?
Yeah.
Toilets are heavy.
Let's see. LT from Australia writes in, with the draft fast approaching and many so-called analysts passing their expertise around.
We'd be happy to help.
I'd like to get your opinion on how the Pats will approach this year's draft. Over the past few weeks, it seems that all of you agree that Larry English is a good player that you would be happy to draft. From the draft scouting websites, it seems that English is slated as a second rounder. With this in mind, would it be out of the realm of possibility?
Mr. Know-it-all over there. that smirk.
First, early second, or 23rd in PFW.
With this in mind.
But Andy had made the pick, said, we're not conventional. We are willing to go outside the box.
Yeah, he talks out of both sides.
We trust our scouting.
In his ass.
That's true.
With this in mind, would it be out of the realm of possibility that Bill, New England Patriots head coach, would trade down from the 23rd pick to acquire more picks? You guys have discussed that this year's draft pool is deep, and hence moving back to acquire more picks would make more sense, though having 11 is quite a lot. I'm thinking maybe trading the first and a fourth to some team in return for a second and third or something like that. There definitely seems to be many of these second to third round players in this draft. What do you think?
That value thing is an interesting topic because if Bill, you know, says that 20 and 40 are similar, there's a whole grouping there, well then it might not really be a reach to take a guy at 23 who you might be able to get at 30, but you're not sure. I mean, you know, the old bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I mean, if they're really all that same, then they all have similar grades. Even right. though they're going to go in different spots and you might be a little surprised, the grades are actually similar. So maybe it wouldn't be a reach. And yeah. if and we've said all along, if you like a guy, that's the most important value, that he's right. going to be good for you, that he does what you need him to do. And if you have to pay a little extra money, to me, it's kind of like the Castle trade.
Yeah.
You take the trade because it's there. Sure, you might be able to get a one if you wait a little while. You might be able to get Larry English if you make a trade, but you might not. So if you want him, take him.
LT,
see, I'm defending my boys at PFW for reaching.
LT says congratulations to Andy on the birth of his daughter.
Thank you.
Congratulations to Eric for making 3 of 20 of his field goal attempts.
We actually found out it was 2.
Hold on a second. This is LT from Australia.
Yeah.
That's twice in this email you've made Paul snarf almost. Just as he was drinking, you read a couple of things from him. Good yeah. job, LT. Good job, LT.
Belichick.
Congratulations to New Gender on his new job. Congratulations to Fred for getting up to date on all the draft prospects.
I might want to hold on that one.
Today, this afternoon. And finally, Mr. Paul Perillo for being inducted into the NAMBLA Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
P.S. Thank you Eric, the main side effects of statins is basically inflammation of muscles in rare cases, and hence they are generally safe. However, the more important ones to note is that they shouldn't be used in pregnancy, so keep that in mind. Of course, the best way to reduce your cholesterol is to modify your diet and exercise.
That's
so
what I'm
get
doing.
Out on the park
That's
and
what I'm
kick
doing.
The ball through the uprights.
That's what I'm doing, LT.
But the problem is, of any of us, Eric has... Did you just bang your nose on the microphone?
Eric has the biggest nose.
No question.
That is the problem.
But he takes his daily walkabouts. He eats
yeah.
pretty
by the
healthy.
Way,
very
your
late
walkabout yesterday ended at like 4:30.
Right.
Because it started at about 4:15.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. That's kind of late.
That's why I said, why don't you just go home
what
and walk?
What difference does it make yeah. what time you do it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it just seems weird.
You know, working
it
all
is
day.
Weird.
Because I had to leave because I had to coach lacrosse yesterday. So about 4:45, I'm walking out, and Eric's walking in from his walkabout.
At lacrosse. I was working all day on stuff. So I
got to get my whistle.
I had to get it in at some point, and that's when I had to do it.
Walkabout. You should probably have people walk with you, like start a movement within the organization.
There are others.
There
in
are
the
others that you walk. I know. I see them.
They're
out
all
there
girls,
sometimes.
But
I might be willing. But that's the perfect time to do it, Andy.
Yeah, you have no chance. Give up on that.
Shut up.
Who's he going after?
We have something?
No.
No. No, but there are other women who go walking, so that might be. You know.
There are other women who.
No.
Now you're one of the women.
But is there one in particular that we're interested in maybe trying to bump into while we walk about?
No, spoken for.
Which one are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm not really comfortable discussing it.
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's yeah,
involves
right.
employees.
All right.
Yeah, well, you don't have to necessarily say the name. I thought there was a way you could let me know who you were talking about without, you know.
Just let it go, Andy.
Yeah, but then she might be listening.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
We should probably
just
move on.
Which is why I didn't want to say any names.
Eric's got a girlfriend.
Now who's
snarfed? Now Eric just snarfed. All right.
And that's dangerous with that honker.
Chris with a T-I-A-N is on the phone. Christian, how you doing?
Okay, guys. What's up?
Are you in the clear this week? You don't have anybody milling around where you're going to have to hang up quickly, do you?
No, I did a little safety, and I'm in the basement. I came down to the basement where nobody could bother.
Proving every talk radio stereotype there was.
Oh, man. Congratulations, Andy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Eric.
Christian.
I was in your neck of the woods this past weekend, Federal Hill.
Really? Where'd you go?
Pane Vino.
Okay, the gallery right next door is one of the places where I exhibit.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's one of the places he never sold any pieces of art.
That's also accurate. But yeah, what'd you think of Pane Vino?
Excellent.
It's a good place, huh?
The best in the city.
<Good stuff. laughs> So was that your first time down there?
Yes, actually, what you guys were talking about, you touched upon it briefly Tuesday about the Grade 8.
Yeah. Yep.
My girl saw it on the Phantom Gourmet and said, oh, we should go there. So hey. Took a ride down, and it was well worth it.
That's good.
It was excellent.
What'd you do? Anything else while you were down there?
We just had a little bit of a weekend getaway, spent the night at the Renaissance.
Oh, very nice.
Nice little weekend. It was good.
It's a nice little city down there.
That's the hotel that used to be the Masonic Temple.
Yeah, it's really something.
Right off the highway there. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, up on the little hill. It was nice.
Good job.
The reason I'm calling, Fred, I think I kind of maybe think why you're not so high on Pat White. My whole theory is I think that I want them to load up on defense, but I also think that the Wildcat, you know, was a one-year gimmick. Just my opinion. I think that the teams really just started to catch up with it, and definitely the Patriots, like Paul said, caught up with it in the second time around. But I'm kind of torn because I agree with Paul, too, like that they could devote a roster spot, but I just don't know if they're going to take him as a second-round pick that high. I want to know what you guys thought.
Well, obviously, I agree with you, and Paul doesn't. But it's also under
the assumption he's just a Wildcat player. We don't know what Bill thinks he is.
Okay, but that's
I'm saying that he would devote a roster spot to just a Wildcat player as long as he thought that guy was
Christian's other, you know, thought was, is it here to stay? Is that Wildcat here to stay?
I think it's here long enough for anybody you draft right now.
Right.
I mean, am I going to say 25 years from now, are we still talking about the Wildcat?
No, I think we're talking
4 years.
But for the career span,
will you still see it? Yes.
Yeah. Would it be worthy of drafting a guy now? I think it'll be around long enough for
that.
Plus,
if everybody else gives up on it, you're even better off.
Yeah, they could draft White with what you guys said that, you know, maybe use him as that, but, I mean, as a long-term option is that third wide receiver, too.
Right. Yeah, I think that's
third quarterback,
very
third
possible.
Wide receiver,
quarterback, very
Wildcat.
Possible.
He's a versatile player.
No, versatility, that's
exactly.
That's,
the more you can do, Bill says.
Excellent.
All right.
I'll
pop in. I get lunch, whoever, you know, for next week or the week after, whatever you guys need me. So
The doctor will put you in queue.
All right, guys.
All right,
take care.
Christian.
All right, go back upstairs.
Kamani writes in. He doesn't like this new Eric game. It's no good. I don't like it. You know why? Because Eric likes it. The game is just an excuse for Eric to be more pompous. But who cares what words he doesn't know? A good game for Eric is any game that he's not comfortable with. Remember how lame the Eric fact of the day became? We need a game that really turns the screws on him, like the Eric dating game.
But what you don't understand, Kamani, is I often go to Eric believing his perceived or pseudo-intellect personality will help me with things.
Do I really
and
need to
every
say
time I ask him a question, he doesn't know the answer. He has to Google it. So
no, because
I
you ask me the
most
stupid
game
things.
Because I think Eric,
you don't ask me
once
anything.
Again, will be caught with his pants down.
You don't need. What do you mean, once again?
Not in a rest area, I hope.
Oh, hey. Yep.
What?
140 in Taunton. Well-known pickle park.
Figures you know
it. Figures you know it.
Yeah.
Ravel's been there?
Probably.
He's
an expatriate. I can say it.
Webradio at patriots.com. Pat in Chicago writes
what?
In. No, but he says, thanks a lot for answering the Belichick coma hypothetical last week.
Into the show.
He's the guy that wrote in about what if Belichick went into a coma.
That's funny.
How would they have done last year?
Oh, yeah.
If Belichick was some reason out for the
and
year,
Brady was,
Brady
still
was in, how would they have done
right,
it? Yeah. Let's pose that question to Andy.
Not as well.
They wouldn't have gone 11-5? See?
I am of the belief that Bill Belichick is the most important aspect of this organization.
All right. This week I thought I'd ask one related to the draft. If the entire Patriots roster was disbanded and entered into this year's draft, how do you see the first five picks going? I got Detroit taking Brady. After that, there are some arguments to be had. Keep up the great work. So the draft order is Detroit, St. Louis, Kansas City, Seattle, Cleveland. How would the Patriots be drafted?
St. Louis.
How the Patriots players
so Brady would be number one. Who is the second highest valued player?
Randy Moss.
Well, I mean.
Well, you got to take in age.
But I still think they would because they have a quarterback who needs a weapon. They have a running back. I think they would.
So St. Louis.
They don't have Calvin Johnson in this scenario?
Who? No.
Brady
now is
in now
Detroit.
It's next
now
team.
We're
yeah,
on the Rams.
I'm sorry. Right.
Kansas City selects Vince Wilfork, right?
Sure. Oh, for the 3-4, yeah.
Or Wes Welker.
Nope.
No.
Seattle selects Gerard Mayo. They could use a linebacker.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Aren't they thinking of drafting a linebacker as it is?
That's a great game. Mm-hmm. This guy comes up with good games.
Who next up is Cleveland would take one of the ends, Seymour or Warren.
Seymour or Warren, I think, would have to be pretty highly my God.
Cincinnati.
Are we talking specifically with the team? Are we taking into account their specific
needs?
Yeah,
sure, I am.
Yeah. That's hard to do.
Cincinnati takes Wes Welker
to
replace, what's his name?
Ocho Cinco?
No.
Or Hushmanzada.
Hushmanzada.
Oh, because Ocho Cinco is talking about leaving, too.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I would have kept Hushmanzada if I was going to trade Ocho Cinco, because now Carson Palmer comes back healthy to what?
Yeah.
Oakland takes.
You can lose 14 games with or without
Lawrence
a slot
Maroney.
Receiver that catches 100 passes.
Yeah, not so sure
Oakland
about that.
Takes
you gotta have
what?
Oakland takes. I don't know. Who does Oakland take?
Matt Light.
Benjamin Watson. Because they are infatuated.
Big and fast. Yep.
No, they take Logan Mankins.
No, that's a smart move.
That's a smart pick, though, yeah.
But we're trying to do it right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of
going with the way they normally pick.
Like, they're known for taking bigs.
I
Watson
think they
was
take
a joke.
Adalys Thomas. Wait, who'd you
Adalys
Thomas?
He hasn't been drafted yet.
He's a possibility for Oakland.
Jacksonville.
Big contract.
Jacksonville would take one of those defensive linemen, right? Or maybe an offensive lineman.
Either side.
One of the lines.
You could take Copen. You could take Light. You could take Mankins.
Warren or Seymour. Did we draft Warren or Seymour somewhere?
Well, one of them.
One of them.
So one of them's still available. And then we'll finish up with Green Bay, and they need a corner piece for their 3-4 defense, so I'll say James Sanders.
Oh, God.
All right.
We're not really going to keep going, are we? I mean, Fred was just like looking and waiting for the next selection.
The ShamWow commercial's on.
Your guy, Vince.
Is he out of jail yet?
Jailbird.
Yeah, I think that was just
there's a new...
Now, when they took
that
his
really
mugshot...
That really didn't happen either, right?
When they you see his mugshot?
Yeah.
Did he have the little microphone
he
thing?
He didn't. It looked and like more, somebody ripped it off his face.
More importantly, Fred, have you seen the new reality show with that guy? The guy with the beard?
Oh,
Billy
Mays.
Discovery Channel.
Billy
it's called Mays? Pitch This.
Billy Mays?
Where
yeah, Billy
it's
Mays,
about
right.
people coming with products and ideas.
Well,
and
they had that on a major network a few years ago.
No, that was The American Inventor.
Yeah.
This is more not about the product being good, but what they do in turning crap into a multi-million dollar.
So it's about you rather than the product.
It's about
the
pitch.
Right.
It's not about the actual product.
So they give them a product and they have to figure out a pitch
I don't
for
know
it?
Exactly, because there's another guy in there that I don't really know.
Does he host the show?
He does with another guy who I don't – it's not the other famous one. Who's the Ron Popeil guy? It's not him. Because those, to me, are the two, like, faces.
Right.
I thought you might be interested in that.
Fred
also,
should do it. Fred,
you should try.
You should try out.
Soap with a slot.
Yeah.
Oh, you're off.
Dave from Connecticut writes in, I'm more excited about this
about
year's draft.
It's not about the invention, though. All you have
it's
to do
about
is
the
sell
sale.
It. Right.
You can sell anything. Remember when I heard you on that conference call last week selling the Patriots? That's the kind of Fred I need to show up.
It's an easy sell.
They might as well. Plus, you were drunk and you're a little more outgoing.
I'm more excited about this year's draft, says Dave from Connecticut, than previous years. I hope that they keep the four picks in the first two rounds. I have a good feeling that someone will slip and fall into their lap. I can see the Patriots coming off of day one with three defensive and one offensive player that all will contribute in 09. I believe Bill will find a gem in the later rounds. As far as Pat White goes, I have nothing against drafting him. Only make it a pick on day two. So
okay.
That's Pat, Dave from Connecticut.
That may or may not be feasible.
So, let's see.
I just don't understand. If you think he's going to be good, what's the difference if you take him late in the second round or early in the third round?
Okay, it depends on what you think, I guess, right? James has an MP3.
I just told you what you think. I want to know what the difference
don't
is.
Don't ever tell me what I think.
You're not smart enough to put words in my mouth.
No, I'm saying if you think he's going to be good in the early in the third round,
but
why is it not good in the second
round? Well, it depends on how good you think. Let's see. James.
I love when he has no time for me.
James writes, has an MP3. So you ready with that, doctor? Okay, let's go.
Hey, ladies and Andy, how's it hanging? I was having my diaper changed the other day when my mind started to wonder, what exactly does an uncapped ear mean? How will each team react? Will there be some teams that sign every free agent available for just 1 year and go for broke? Your thoughts. Oh, and Paul, this is for you. Science. She blinded me with science.
Oh, that's good.
That's well beautiful. Done,
James Pettigrew.
That's beautiful.
But he did have a
obviously
question.
Obviously, he's drunk.
He wanted to know about the uncapped year.
Well, yes. Is that what he wanted to know? Yeah.
Yes. There are going to be some differences, though, if they do get to that point, if they don't settle it before then. Right now, to be an unrestricted free agent, you only need 4 years service in the league. That would bump up to 6.
Thank you for your service.
Correct.
Don't mock the military, Fred.
I'm mocking you.
So I think that would lessen the pool of available free agents because there wouldn't be as many people who have that much service. And then there would be restrictions. I think it's the top 8 teams from the previous season would have certain limitations on how many or players they could sign.
You know,
so.
For lack of a better term, they put poison pills in that year to make it uncomfortable for both the players and management to have an uncapped year. Mm-hmm. So
uncomfortable is a good word, though, because they're not
unbelievable.
They're not deal breakers.
Right. Yeah. You can work with it.
And the other part of his question is, yes, there will be teams that go out and spend money on one-year deals and try to – there will be other teams who will cut costs down to, you know, $20 million payrolls because there won't be a floor. There will be some teams that just kind of
tiptoe
through it.
See, if it's one guy, like let's say Daniel Snyder or Jerry Jones is the guy that goes crazy, what's interesting, though, is eventually you would think – they're going to get a salary cap back.
Right.
So then do the other owners say, well, you know, Jerry, you shouldn't have done what you did, and the new terms of the CBA, you're really going to get hurt now. That what you did that uncapped year is going to kill you. Or do they say, well, let's grandfather it in.
Well, no, but if they go crazy, the penalty will be their own because they will have signed all these guys on one-year $50 million deals. All the other teams still have players. They have no players, and now they're working under a cap again trying to restock a roster.
But it depends on the structure of the cap. For example, you know, there might be rules in this new cap about spreading bonuses over the life of the term.
But if they sign one-year deals, those are irrelevant.
Well I'm just saying.
Or if you just give them, you know, a $15, $20 million roster bonus 1 year.
Well, I don't think.
No cap.
I'm just saying. No one's dumb enough to sign a 7-year, $150 million deal not knowing when the next CBA is going to kick in.
I'm just saying how much.
I wouldn't think.
How much.
I should back off.
We do have to exclude Fred's two examples of Snyder and Joe.
Mm-hmm. Right. How much an owner gets hurt by going willy-nilly during this uncapped year, a lot of that will be determined by what the other owners do in negotiations, you know?
I mean, that would be an interesting thing to watch from afar because
if they're
doing things just to penalize one guy, then you're not doing good business because your idea should be to get the best plan in place for long term.
It's less that you're penalizing him. It's more that we're not going to help you.
But here's the thing. You're automatically making an assumption. Now, it's hard to say this without the specific parameters of what you're talking about, but if there's an uncapped year in 2010 and some of the owners go out there and spend wildly, I don't know why that's wrong.
Right.
Like, you're making it sound like they should be penalized for that.
I don't really know
why they should be penalized for it.
No, it's not a matter of penalty.
Now you're talking about collusion, by the way.
Right, exactly. But it's a matter of what happens. Okay, let's just say you go out and you sign – you know, a player to a 5-year contract. Huge money. Money that would not fit under today's current cap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happens when the new cap is put in place?
But no one will.
And it still doesn't fit.
No one will do that because no one's dumb enough to do that. I mean, we're joking about Snyder and Jones.
I feel
like
what Andy's saying is the guys that are going to spend wildly are going to do so by giving players – a bunch of upfront money.
Upfront that year.
That 1 year. Right. You know, I can give you a $20 million roster bonus. Yeah. Bang. Here you go.
Yeah. And then once that uncapped year is done, there's no repercussion from
but
that.
But to answer your question, Fred, if there's anyone out there who's foolish enough to do that, then their team's going to suck in the coming years because they're not going to have any money to sign.
But again, I want to stay away from this. It's not necessarily foolish if that's the parameters that you're working under to build the team as best you can. What's the difference between if you sign, let's say, Albert Haynesworth, okay? If the Redskins gave him the same contract in an uncapped year, couldn't he have gotten the $40 million all at once?
Right.
That entices the guy to come.
Right.
But it's still a 6-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
So when the cap comes in, it's the same same proration.
And you're saying a guy like Albert Haynesworth.
I don't think that's foolish.
No, but you're saying Albert Haynesworth wouldn't care because now he can get cut any time after that.
But
it won't hurt the team.
But he has his money.
Right.
And for cap purposes, it's not any different. If
he
gets it all at once, the only thing that – there's plenty of $20 million signing bonuses that get put out there. This is $20 million roster bonus.
Right.
So I don't need to worry about prorating it. I have to give the guy the money anyway. You know, so it doesn't matter. Like, for Robert Kraft, it doesn't matter that he gets to spread it out over 5-6 years for the cap. He's got to give the guy the money all up front anyway, even now.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's foolish in an uncapped year
–
to go out and try to find a lot of those guys. You can't get a lot of those guys
under the system now because you can't afford to have those cap hits.
Right. And it's also not necessarily foolish to take a year off, so to speak, and cut all your high-priced veterans and say, I'm getting the dead money, whatever, and prepare for the next year when the cap comes excuse me, the cap comes back. I have $20 million in salary and $80 million free to spend.
And every team will be different because every team's needs will be different. That's why the email is right. It'll be interesting to see which teams decide to do what Andy just said and say, all right, let's use this as an opportunity to get our books in order.
Boston Bruins, so to speak.
Right. They thought they had the market cornered. Now, I will guarantee you if Belichick opts for something like that it, with the Crafts, they'll be right.
Right. They won't
Not
screw
like
it
the
up.
Bruins. They won't screw it up. That'll be a big difference. But I think, first of all, I think it would be bad for football because I think they need to get the CBA done. You don't want to have any potential work stoppages. We all would just assume a continuation of the CBA.
Exactly.
But if it does happen, it's going to be very interesting to see how the different teams react to
it. Yeah, and it'd be interesting now. I mean, all these guys are rich, all these owners. They're all rich, but some are more have more liquid assets than just assets.
Right, and that's where you get the Joneses and the Snyders of the world might be able to do stuff that Robert Kraft can't.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have the books for everybody.
But you know, just because you have a new stadium and all that, you know, for example, Jerry Jones might not be as liquid now as he was 2 years ago because of this new stadium.
Right.
He might be way up to debt. And so, you know, he might try to say, okay, well, I'm going to, take out a huge loan, a $2 billion loan for this year and just buy up every, free agent I can and go for a Super Bowl. But he may not be able to get a loan.
Right.
You know, who knows?
There would be a lot of different plans put in place by different teams with different books.
Yeah. So I don't want to see it, although it would be interesting.
I don't want to see it. It's just
I just
much.
Wanted to get
if
a deal
else,
done.
I don't want to have to learn all the different specific rules. I barely know the ones that are already in place.
Getting a deal done is good for the players. It's good for the owners. It's good for the networks. It's good for merchandise.
It needs stability.
Exactly.
Plus, in this economy, just the general PR.
Oh, it's
fans don't want to hear about two sides that are making ridiculous amounts of money bicker about who's making more or less money.
Fans never want to hear that. They never want to hear that.
Especially now. Everyone's getting laid off and losing jobs, and you guys are bickering. Well, do I get 60% of 18 quadrillion billion dollars or 63?
Right.
That's not going to play well.
That poo don't fly.
Michael in Nova Scotia, my 6-year-old son and I were watching NFL Network as I try to get my son excited by draft prospects. They were profiling Javon Ringer, and my son's take was he was very fast and he's going to win the draft. you guys know anything about him? By the way, you guys should do remote shows from each of the New England states and maybe up here you might sell a few more PFWs.
Javon Ringer does not pass the Lincoln penny test in my mind. Not a lot of tread left on that tire.
Eight gazillion carries. That's a fear.
And not a big guy.
No question that's a fear, but he's
Mike Hart, nice kid, good player. Good thanks for playing.
1,000 times better college player than Mike Hart.
I'll take him in the 5th round as my backup running back.
Other than that, you don't have any feelings about him?
No.
That personally offended me, the comparison to Mike Hart.
You know what personally offends me? The photo that Christian sent in of Clay Matthews with bitch tits.
But that's what's actually, that's when he was
Brian Cushing with bitch tits.
That's when he was a freshman.
Cushing's boobies.
He's like twice as big as that now.
Both of those guys?
Have you seen that photo?
The Cushing one.
Yeah, have you seen that photo?
Yeah.
It's gross.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like what's-his-name's boobs in our paper.
Oh, Andre Smith. Yeah, it does.
He's like kind of like 13-year-old girl just forming boobs.
Well, somebody used that photo.
Strippers, you know those.
Somebody used that photo, that specific photo, when he's got the pant leg rolled up and the hair in it. Yeah. They used that photo against a photo of what he looks like today to prove that he has been taking.
But that was his freshman year, that flabby one?
That's what I heard, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of guys you can do that with.
Oh, I know.
Legitimate guys.
You get into a four-year program, and you've got to get bigger.
David Robinson went from 6'6 or 6'7 to 7'2 in his career at Navy. I mean, the guy grew like three-quarters of a foot.
Yeah.
But that wasn't enhanced, was it?
No, but that's my point.
No, he just
there are certain guys that hit growth spurts.
I wouldn't compare a freshman photo because he's a kid.
Right.
I mean, you go into college as a kid. I know it's cliche, but
You
come out as a man. I mean, there's a big difference between 18 and 22.
What happened to me?
Fred's got the wheels are turning.
I had a couple, but I can't say it.
But seriously, Fred, you know,
we have a disclaimer.
I would actually be making fun of my own college, so I didn't want to say
which
it.
Which one?
Did
you go like four?
18 to 22, Andy's right. You can grow 3-4 inches and put on 50 pounds and have nothing to do with any chemical enhancements.
Sean in Singapore says, your thoughts on a few guys in the upcoming draft. First, Nate Davis, quarterback from Ball State.
Don't like him.
Don't like him.
No.
Personally? Or
really, really, really good college player.
Good college player, but he's got some issues. I know this sounds like
Did he snub you at the combine?
No.
Okay.
No, we talked to him. But he's got this weird thing where he throws the football without the laces.
Oh, that's the guy, yeah.
And he refuses
to do it the right way.
Refuses to be coached any other way.
Yeah.
So those guys.
You don't want some stubborn kid coming into the league.
You know, the next one is, Nate, you can't throw the ball right through the free safety. Well, that's the way I do it. I can't be coached any other way.
Yeah.
Brian Robisky, wide receiver out of Ohio State.
Good possession
Not bad.
Guy.
Good possession guy, intriguing
mid-round,
player.
Third
Not
round,
a
maybe.
Star, but could have a very good NFL career.
I could see him with one of the 3 second rounders, or as Eric said, in the third round. I like him.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. Kaluva Maeva, linebacker out of USC. Did I pronounce that right?
I don't know how to pronounce
it's
it,
weird.
But I didn't love him.
I didn't like him either.
All right. And Chris Clements, safety out of Clemson.
Not bad.
I liked him.
He's made some plays.
He seemed like a leader to me. It's hard to – that's kind of a stupid thing to say on film.
James Sanders type. A James Sanders type, Paul?
He is no James Sanders. Jeez, let's not be ridiculous here.
No, I liked him. He was good.
His thing I don't think he was very fast, and that might have knocked him down. I'm just looking. NFL Draft Scout had him as a fifth rounder. And I bet you it's because of speed. Because I watch him making plays. He just seemed like a kind of a glue guy to me. Just watching him go about in the highlights, he looked like he was one of those
very
typical safety who was in charge of the secondary.
Yeah,
I looked back at my however you say it, the kid out of USC, the linebacker, Jag.
I didn't like him much.
All right,
average athlete at best. I think he played like 1 year there. I'm not interested.
Chris in Bridgeport, Connecticut. My question is, the schedule was just put out. Which teams do you think will be the toughest to beat this season? We faced some good teams, and I was wondering what your opinion is. I think he means the opponents. We know who the opponents are. The schedule isn't out yesterday. I know we tried to leak it, but
isn't out yesterday?
What does that sentence even mean?
You don't know from schedule
today.
So
next week, I'm saying.
Who's their toughest opponent this year?
They're all tough, Fred.
I don't know.
We just take it 1 week at a time around here. You know how that goes.
They got what? Baltimore is a tough one.
Denver is going to be a tough one.
Denver is interesting. I don't think as tough as Baltimore.
Indianapolis, hello?
Indianapolis.
I think Baltimore is going to be a tough game, but they're kind of riding that every other year thing. I wonder what's going to happen with them.
But if you're a believer in Flacco, then I think you say Baltimore's going to be a tough game. If he takes a step forward.
Atlanta?
Yeah.
It's the same deal as Baltimore.
Well, but I think Baltimore has a better defense.
I think Baltimore's a better team.
Baltimore has the defense. Yeah. They have a little bit of a running game, and you think the quarterback takes the next level.
Tennessee?
Didn't Baltimore sign a receiver?
They signed L.J. Smith, tight end.
Todd Heap did.
No, but they have injury concerns.
Getting a little on in years.
Interesting. I thought they signed a receiver.
I think it's weird that they signed L.J. Smith because he's kind of Todd Heap, only not as good. He's always hurt.
Right.
And, you know, can be productive, but he's
maybe
never
they'll
healthy.
Draft
they cut Samari Roll and then they re-signed
him back,
for 4 years.
Craig Bunce writes in.
Craig!
He says, I joined the show a few minutes late. Interesting use of Pat White that hasn't been talked about yet. What if Belichick trains White to be our full-time holder? At any given time, he could run or pass both on field goal attempts and extra points. That'd be cool. speaking of extra points, have you checked out the AFL old school unis the refs are wearing for the AFL University anniversary games? Bright orange and white. Looks like something from a freaking Dr. Seuss book.
Oh, that's awesome.
They're bright orange. I'm pumped.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's my favorite color.
That's what they used to wear.
Oh, so then the Broncos can't wear their old orange shirt. That's going to be a little too confusing.
Or the Dolphins can't wear their guess they wouldn't, huh?
Nobody knows what Belichick is going to pull off. We all prognosticate about the draft and evaluate talent based on what we feel the Pats need. He selects based on player value versus the pick. Here's a good question. How far back do you have to go in the draft when Belichick didn't surprise you with one of the first 5 Pats picks? Pick your poison. How many? So I guess that's one question.
What do you mean by surprise? Because last year we all said linebacker, and he took a linebacker.
And a matter of fact, Mayo was a guy that we all really liked.
Yeah. But he sent the first five picks, so any of the first five.
Five.
Yeah. I mean, once you get past the first and second round, you have no clue.
He stunned me with Slater. He was a fifth rounder, right?
That's true. Yes, fifth rounder.
I just don't know how anybody could.
I don't remember that.
The first time I heard Matthew Slater was when they said Matthew Slater.
That would be a surprise. He's saying, when's the last time you weren't surprised?
Mayo. I mean, last year.
With one of the first five picks.
Yeah. We talked about Mayo. We didn't say, there is no doubt he's going to take Mayo, but.
Maroney was one.
I wasn't surprised with Maroney. I mean, I would have to go all the way back to Mankins, and that's because of the guard.
Yeah, we kind of picked five words Bill once said and ran with them.
Yeah, and, you know, Seymour
surprised me a little bit because that was the David Terrell draft, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I was disappointed with that pick, no question. I was like Borges, only instead of, unlike Borges, I have admitted that I was wrong.
Speaking of Seymour.
Wait. 11 picks. Talking about Holder got me thinking. The holder now is.
Yeah, by the way, Fred, Chris if Hunter. They take a holder in the second round, I'm with you. That's a little.
Do they draft
a
punter?
Are there any good ones out there, Eric?
Huber.
Anybody with any foot-to-ball quickness?
Graham Gano.
I don't know if Eric's really an expert, because he was in love with the kid from
Dragosevich?
Yeah, because he hit the roof in like a 5-foot ceiling building.
Well, he couldn't do it outside. I didn't see him kick outside. I only saw him kick inside.
But the fact that he hit a roof.
I think he kicked in the same way, except there was no roof to knock it down.
No, because.
The blank stares you get are just priceless.
If he hit the roof in this room right here, you'd say, whoa, he hit the roof with his punts.
No,
he just couldn't do it outside.
The roof is pretty high in the Dana-Farber field.
Not high enough.
Apparently.
Craig also wants to know, if we could only afford to sign one,
Wilfork
or Seymour, who would you sign?
Wilfork.
Everyone says Wilfork. I agree. Rob writes in. He says, I'm with Fred, Pat White, Hayter Kirsch. Pat White is not worthy of a second-round pick because if he becomes the third-string quarterback, it will hurt the Patriots on game day because then they will not have that third quarterback day roster spot.
No, we're saying that he could be an option.
No, Kevin O'Connell would be the third quarterback roster spot. He would really be the backup quarterback, but he would be the emergency quarterback on game day.
No, but I'm saying you could use him as a receiver and also have three quarterbacks on the roster.
Right.
So you would really have four quarterbacks.
Yeah, it wouldn't cost you a spot.
Matthew says, how do you guys feel about Jason Taylor badmouthing the Patriots on NFL.com? Did he badmouth
the
Patriots?
I missed that.
I didn't.
Nice job with the blitz today.
What did he say?
I had to get thrown into a 50th anniversary meeting that we didn't have
Part
planned.
Of the blitz is supposed to be what they say on TV.
No, NFL.com.
Oh, I thought he said NFL Network.
Oh, maybe he did.
I don't know. I don't know where he said it.
Well, what did he say?
I don't know.
He didn't put it in there?
He didn't put it in the email. I can't answer that question.
Hey, stock market's up.
Send us what he said.
It's a rarity under Obama.
It was up 40-something points yesterday.
Oh, hold on now.
It's been a three-week rally.
I know. I'm just kidding. Did you see that he hired
points to go.
The guy from 24? Yeah. I mean, not 24. House. To be his
House.
Hollywood liaison?
Was that what the job was?
Cal Penn.
Yeah, Cal Penn. He's Kumar from Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle or whatever.
Okay, whatever.
You need a Hollywood liaison.
You don't think that's a little odd?
I think they all had that.
What do you need a liaison to Hollywood for in the White House?
Because there's a lot of money in Hollywood.
Obama is all about building his campaign funds for the next run.
And they have a lot of influence.
With who?
They do?
With certain people.
Who?
I mean, there's a reason why they ask these celebrities to make statements for them, you know?
They think they have influence.
Well, whatever.
What they have is money, Fred. That's the only thing these people care about.
Fred, are you a registered Republican?
Yes, I am.
Did you get that letter recently or a while ago with, like, them, and it had a questionnaire asking what you wanted them to do with the leadership of your party?
I didn't make it to my house.
No, I'm not. My mother-in-law showed it to me, and I couldn't believe what I was reading.
Well, like, the Republican Party is
just wacko.
It's in shambles. It's been that way for a while.
Propaganda type.
If you're getting any sort of political thing in the mail, it's a fringe thing. It's an extremist thing.
But it's the Republican National Party or
it's
whatever.
From the RNC.
I know.
It's from the guy, whoever the head is, and it's asking them, what do you want us to do in the next, with our candidates, with our support for governor's race? But the overall tone of it was just borderline ridiculous.
Well, that's how most of those things are, Andy.
I know. It's scary. that those people are it's just scary.
Yemi from Texas, how would you guys value Vince Wilfork? Keep in mind that he is basically a two-down lineman for the Patriots. I think this is the sticking point between him and the Patriots. Could be.
Sure.
Haynesworth is a three-down guy.
That's probably
I think Vince Wilfork would argue, if you leave me out there, I'm a three-down guy.
Yeah, and I know that the Patriots do that because they're very they do a lot of research and they're very interested in that play, you know, that percentage play time. Mm-hmm. I bet you that is part of the deal here. And whether or not Wilfork believes that he could be, he hasn't really been consistently a three-down player for the Patriots.
But I think he says, okay, so I won't sign with you. I'll sign with somebody who's going to make me play three downs because they paid me that way. And you know what? I'll have seven sacks next year or something. And I think Vince Wilfork is a tremendous athlete, so I don't just automatically discount that he couldn't play on all three downs.
I don't either.
I'm not discounting that.
And it's kind of like when Richard Seymour wasn't good enough to play on certain downs and the kind of little pissing contest back and forth. With I mean, the team can believe one thing. They might be right. The player can believe another thing. They might be right. Well, and the truth might be somewhere in the middle.
I'll give you the example. Do you think that Vince Wilfork could be more productive than Jarvis Green on third down? If he was given the opportunity to be out there on a consistent basis?
Yeah. At the very least,
I think that part of it isn't necessarily man-for-man like that. I think part of what the way they look at it is we want Wilfork playing at a higher level on first and second down.
And that is clearly an issue with him.
Yeah.
Because of his build and his weight and his motor and everything.
And I think that's probably part of the Patriots' rationale. And that would be the only thing that would worry me. The question that I think the previous emailer brought up, Seymour or Wilfork, I think the age tells you, and we all said immediately Wilfork, but my concern is the weight. You know, and in 2 years, is Wilfork not anywhere near as productive as Seymour is right now? That's possible.
And to be honest, to be frank, the diabetes thing. I mean, at his weight and the family history, that's also an issue. Now, it probably won't come up. I mean, I don't exactly know how that works with diabetes, at what age you really start to cross over into it, but it's a concern, especially when you're handing somebody however millions of dollars he wants them to hand him. But we also need to keep in mind the major issue here is the landscape.
Stop that. Stop it. They're just showing some follies on NFL Network. A referee just took his shirt off and started dancing with a mascot, and he was doing like this strip thing. It was very uncomfortable.
Matt from Hartford writes in, long-time listener, first-time emailer, love the show. It's the highlight of my week. Wish it could be every day. You guys are way better than anything on the radio, even EEI, or are you listening to EEI, he says. I was wondering, as a Hartford native and a UConn alum, what do you guys think of UConn's Dana Delaston? Would he be worth a late second-day pick or perhaps a priority free agent? I don't know him personally, but he's a local kid, and I would really like to see him do well. I watch most UConn games, and UConn uses him in some unique ways, kind of like a hybrid strong safety outside linebacker. He's a big, fast kid who hits hard, and it seems he might be able to contribute on special teams and maybe develop into something more.
Eric, why don't you take – hey, he's on my list. Son of a
–
I had never heard the name before, but under strong safeties, Dana Delaston, 6'0", 212 – his early 40 time, which is not by any means a pro day or a combine one, was 4.52. Mm-hmm. I don't mind the numbers.
And
other than that, I got nothing.
I don't know.
We do know, though,
how big is the Indy Hart big board? When I had the, I mean, that's tremendous.
That's bigger than the Indy Hart big head. But we do know that the Patriots sent a large contingent.
Go that far.
You don't think? No? They did send, I think it was like 7 representatives, including Bill Belichick, to UConn for their pro day. I would have to imagine that there was some, at least, discussion with him.
Trouble is, they actually asked to see someone else play safety, the quarterback, Lorenzen.
Maybe.
Poor Dana got overlooked.
But
Matt, keep an eye on Jordan Todman, running back.
Star
in the making.
Not yet draft eligible, however.
Nope.
No, but next year, I guarantee you, he will have double-digit touchdowns.
You should have seen the face.
Going to have to make a lot of big plays because I don't see him him in from the floor.
What do I feel better about saying? Todman with double-digit touchdowns or Maroney with 1,000 yards?
Todman
with double-digit touchdowns. Word on the street is the offensive coordinator in love with him, going to get him a lot of touches.
What street is that?
Bakerville.
Yes.
That's a street I live on. Well, I shouldn't say that on the air.
Ooh. Yeah.
Just kidding.
Jason the Hounds of Bakerville?
Jason from Providence writes, you know, Jason?
Only the pompous guy laughs.
Sure, Fred.
I'm going to give a few scenarios, and you guys can give percentages on how likely they are to happen. What are the odds that Joey Galloway gets cut before the start of the season?
31.
31%.
Really?
Below 10%.
I am on the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Joey Galloway,
of the Joey Galloway,
part of this
Greg Lewis acquisitions as Andy and Eric.
Whoa! I said I like Galloway.
Yeah, but I thought you guys think
he probably he didn't mean that. He was just throwing that out there as one of the things.
Then Andy, who has predicted,
I think Lewis 50
plus
the team,
receptions
but
for Greg Lewis.
I downgraded
it. No, 50 plus receptions will go to Galloway.
40 or 50.
Yeah, I think Joey Galloway takes the Dante Stallworth role from 2 years ago and maybe even better.
That's what I've said from the beginning.
And Greg Lewis, I think
he stands alone and he's okay.
Is a kind of an extra.
Your head.
If he gets 20 catches, I would be thrilled.
All right. Killed. What are the percentages?
Greg Lewis.
Die, you're an idiot.
What are the percentages? Maybe. Jason Taylor, by the way,
I can't wait till camp.
The odds that
Lewis
Joey
sucks.
Galloway gets cut before the start of the season are 22%.
Who said that?
I said
that. I think the only way he gets cut is if he gets hurt. So whatever percentage you want to say on an injury.
22%.
So I don't care about injuries. I say it's still 3-10.
He's going to make the team. He's going to be
John Lynch
better than Stallworth.
What are the percentages Jason Taylor still becomes a Patriot?
Less than 5%.
12. It's
pointing all 50, towards 50. Peppers right here.
Less than 5%.
I got 50-50.
I say 12%.
I'm sticking. I got to go down with my shit.
Brian Morey hasn't been on this show in a long time.
The answer
is his role.
39.
Could go either way.
The answer is 39%.
12.
39.
He is going to be a Dolphin.
Okay. What are the percentages the Patriots will win at least 14 games?
75%.
I'm going to go the opposite of that, 25%.
Yeah, I was thinking somewhere around 20%.
50-50. And finally, what is the percentage that Fred will stop yelling at Eric about practicing?
0%.
0%.
0%.
Until he starts practicing, I'm going to yell at him.
He doesn't. It doesn't matter, though, at this point.
No, it does matter.
He cannot make up 15 yards of leg strength.
You don't need 15 yards,
Yes,
Andy.
You do.
No,
to
I
maintain
don't.
Any dignity, you need to have it booming through the uprights, trickling over.
No.
What?
You got to be putting them into the net. You can't be just having them scrape over the crossbar. You're going to be embarrassing yourself.
Hitting that little camera that's behind it.
The agreement was to make
I understand
6 out of 10.
I
wonder but
the,
how far they
I wonder,
go.
The bragging guy
I'll
said,
you,
I'm going to be hitting
I'll
them from 50
right
and
now.
Lefty.
I could beat you in a field goal kicking contest right now.
I would love to watch that.
I would too.
Can I do the play-by-play?
Because he'll kick once and be hurt in the hospital.
But it'll go over.
No disputing that you're going to get hurt.
Mister,
I'll make it, though. Jimmy Chitwood, I'll make
it. He's lost all confidence, too. That's the other thing. His confidence is shaken.
No, it's just...
it is. Because usually you're popping off now about hitting lefties from 50 yards out.
Maybe you could draw a picture of kicking
and
the
right
field
about
goal.
That.
It would take him all summer, though.
Oh.
And he wouldn't sell it.
5 yards for piling on.
Oh, yeah. You should have a thing. You know that? What's that sound bite? I've been, like, thrown out of something, the best restaurants in town or something. What is that?
The blank expressions on this show are priceless.
Because he's not sold paintings in some of the best galleries in Providence.
I haven't thrown out of better places than this.
Something
worse
like
places
that.
Than this.
All right. The world's going to end in 2012 anyway. So
are you one of those people?
So you'll die a failure?
What's 2012?
The end of the world.
Why though?
That
Mayan prophecy.
Yeah. I've seen it up close and
December
personal.
December 21st, 2012.
The Mayan prophecy.
Yeah, it is.
Among others. Yeah. Among others.
Okay.
Chichen Itza. All the things line up and they do this and at 12 and sun and when and and orbits. Yeah. I was mildly paying attention.
Yeah, okay. More so than these two.
Yeah, I mean, they have no culture. It's sometimes
it's
embarrassing.
It's pretty
it is,
embarrassing.
It is.
That's not coming at me completely out of left field. When you said Mayan philosophy, I know something about
Angelou?
What you're talking about. Certainly not. What did you call it?
Chichen Itza.
Chichen Itza. I've never heard that word in my life.
That's a place.
I can't even pronounce it after hearing it three times.
Chichen Itza.
So 2012. So I guess we don't have to worry
wonders.
About global warming then.
Ironically, it happens at the very end of Obama's first term.
Somewhat not ironically.
Maybe that's what his plan is.
All right. Well, that's going to do
like
it for
he's
this
running
edition
things
of
into the
PFW
ground like
in
there's
progress.
No tomorrow.
We'll end on that note. Hopefully, we'll have a show in 2012, and we can, go out with a bang.
I think we should hope we have a show on Tuesday.
All right. Well, that's going to do it.
I can't eat
Let's
it.
See. What's going on this weekend? Nothing big. Patriots World. Easter.
It's Easter weekend. Young that's Jackson's birthday, second birthday, and TJ's birthday party.
Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. You didn't have one on the day of?
No, it was
a little something on the day of?
Well, we had...
I think we're hitting Five Guys because that's his favorite restaurant on his actual birthday.
On his actual birthday, we really didn't do much.
Wow.
Poor kid. Mean parents.
It's definitely second child syndrome. The kid, poor kid, we got three pitchers lined up right in a row. One's of Will, one's of my niece Taylor, who's my goddaughter, and another one's of Will. And TJ's pointing to him the other day. Me, TJ. I go, no, sorry, bud. Then he points to the other one. Me, TJ. No, sorry, bud. That's not you either. I felt awful, but it's true. We have no pictures of him, nothing.
And when he's 14, he's going to take you hostage.
When he's in therapy, we'll know why. It'll
all
be our
right.
fault.
That's going to be it. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That puts the wraps on another PFW in progress.
Well, come on, guys. We gave it our best.
Wow, that was your best?
Patriots.com radio.
The best is yet to come.